TV home makeovers. How can you make the best use of professional help? Keep listening and we'll keep talking about things that matter. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. How to make your life more beautiful, this Saturday at 3.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. With a number of important issues on the table, President Bush welcomed China's president to the White House today.
We're going to continue to work on this very important relationship to make sure the playing field is level.
Trade issues were key to their discussions. President Hu Jintao, through an interpreter,
we understand the American concerns over the trade imbalances, the protection of the intellectual property rights, and market access. We have taken measures and will continue to take steps to properly resolve the issues.
The two leaders also discussed Iran and North Korea. The defense is wrapped up in the Zakarias Moussaoui sentencing trial, but before arresting, they presented more evidence and defense witnesses who want Moussaoui's life spared, among them Alice Hoagland, who lost her son on United Flight 93.
We are all part of the human family. None of us is beyond redemption.
The defense also sought to distance Moussaoui from alleged shoe bomber Richard Reed. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
After Moussaoui made his headline-grabbing claim that he and Reed had plotted together, Bush administration officials quietly admitted they've never seen any credible evidence of that. Defense lawyers wanted to put the convicted shoe bomber on the stand, and in fact, Judge Leonie Brinkema had signed an order allowing the testimony. She later rescinded that after the government agreed to the statement read to jurors today.
The government-approved statement said there was no information indicating al-Qaeda had instructed Reed to work with Moussaoui on a terrorist operation. The government says distracted drivers now involved in 8 out of 10 collisions or near crashes.
People really need to understand that when they are, in fact, engaging in these types of activities, they are increasing their crash risk by 2 to 3 times that of an alert driver in similar roadway conditions.
Dr. Charlie Clower of Virginia Tech, the researchers caught people on roadways checking their stocks and sports scores all while driving. Former Enron CEO Jeff Skilling finished up his testimony today at his fraud and conspiracy trial. Former Enron founder Ken Lay could take the stand early next week. Two are charged with lying to investors and employees about the company's financial condition before it collapsed. The government's promising to continue its crackdown on businesses employing illegal immigrants. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff today.
We are looking at organizations that promote the harboring and the hiring of illegal, undocumented workers. We're looking at them in the same way we look at other criminal organizations. We are using a strategy against them that is tried and true.
Yesterday, sweeps at IFCO plants and offices netted more than 1,000 arrests. IFCO makes crates and pallets. Many of the employees were allegedly using stolen Social Security numbers. Just released earnings reports show revenues are up at some U.S. airlines despite higher fuel prices. More people are flying and paying more for tickets. And Google's earnings were 60% higher than the same quarter a year ago. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished up 64 points at 11,342. The NASDAQ was off by 8. This is CBS News.
It's time to change four at the Goodyear Change 4 tire sale going on now through April 29th. And when you purchase four selected Goodyear tires, you'll get up to a $40 cash card. Plus, ask how you can double your cash card value up to $80. Hurry, the Goodyear Change 4 tire sale ends April 29th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for the participating retailer near you. Sale and mail-in rebate offers end April 29th. See participating retailer for complete details. Restrictions apply.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For example, the 10 million saved is 10 million earned dynamic. Or the our month-end reports actually happen by the end of the month dynamic. Or the yes, I can forecast the revenue, no, I don't own a crystal ball dynamic. How do you manage these dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
What are MBA students hoping for in the workplace?
Money, advancement, and flexible working conditions. What MBA candidates are looking for in that first job? Fortune.com's Gabriel Solomon says their survey also showed high tech's back among where grads want to work. Up from 15th, Apple came in at number 7, and Google's come into its own.
Google was so popular that it was actually written in last year and would have shown up as number 129. had it gone that far, but this year they added it to the survey form and it showed up as number two.
Sullivan says that first paycheck climbed to $88,000 from last year's $81,500. Lou Belliano, CBS News.
First two devastating hurricanes last summer, Katrina and Rita, and now officials say South Louisiana is in the midst of a drought. Could be one of the driest January through April periods ever. Attendance at NBA games set a record for the second straight season. The league's arenas were filled to more than 91% capacity. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
For a limited time, seeing red is taking on a whole new meaning. Because at CompUSA's Red Tag Clearance event, every time you see a red tag, you know you're about to save big. On laptops and desktops, monitors, LCD and plasma TVs, digital cameras, camcorders, and more. Hurry in before May 6th and get unbelievable red tag savings, up to 70% store-wide. It's the Red Tag Clearance event at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. While supplies last, products vary by store, no rain check, see store for details.
Your picture-perfect lawn, suddenly destroyed by two types of insects. No matter. Backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created Complete Insect Killer, the only product that combines two chemistries to eliminate insects above ground, plus below ground for up to 3 months. Guaranteed. Time to kick back and relax? Not if you're a damaging pest. Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer. Better science, better results.
Let's march along together. All right, we're going to go ahead. That's what the man said. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show from the left coast, oozing out all over America. I got the official word that we are all systems go in Phoenix, Arizona. Hello there. It is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I am your humble host, Peter B. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We're all the way live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And our brand new station where they play our program in the nighttime, KPHX 1480, the all-new progressive station in Phoenix. And I'm glad you're listening. Coming up later this hour, we're going to meet Wired News reporter Ryan Single, who's going to brief us on the NSA wiretapping program, at least some of the elements that have surfaced, including how they intercept the emails that have been monitored. There is a clean room in the AT&T facilities in San Francisco where they installed some highly sophisticated gear. And Ryan will tell us about that, and maybe he'll even be able to tell us what keywords lead to a search. I've been using Dick Cheney's name in some emails just to see what would happen, and so far there's been no knock on the door. Coming up in our second hour today, John Koopman, a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, just spent 2 or 3 weeks in Iraq. He's back, and he'll tell us what he saw. Some fascinating first-person accounts from John Koopman. Then, as always, in our third hour, it's the Free Speech Zone. We take calls on any issue from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And if you'd like to call the program, you can do so at any time. 831-899-5792 is our local number on the Central Coast. And everybody else, call me toll-free. It's 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And if you're a newbie listener, say in Phoenix, and you want more info on who is this guy and where's he coming from, go to peterbcollins.com. There's information, links to our archives and live stream, and I think there's some podcasting available. And you can also get a little biographical information on yours truly. Every week about this time, we pause to talk to the man with the factoids, Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Instead of Altoids, he dispenses factoids. He's the man with the information. And he's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, which is chock full of info and analysis. And you can get your very own copy delivered in your email free. Just log on to progressreport.org. Faz, how are you today?
Hey, Peter. How are you doing this week?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. I wanted to start off by talking about the state visit that got underway in Washington today with President Hu Jintao of China. And the Progress Report, as you're prone to do, summed up key data in one sentence. And if I may, I'll quote it. China is the world's most populous nation and has the fourth largest economy. It is the third largest trade partner and the second largest official creditor to the United States. Now, let's break those individual pieces of information down. We know the most people in the world live in China. It does have the fourth largest economy. And we are deeply in debt to China, and we continue to rack up that debt with the trade deficits that we have been setting new records every year with.
That's right. I think the question here is, who do you have to blame for that? And I think, from my perspective at least, that it's been our policies here at home in terms of allowing jobs to go offshore, allowing middle-class families to get squeezed by China, who is really acting out of self-interest and trying to protect their own economy while using the United States market to boom. And we haven't, our Congress, our president, hasn't really stepped up to enforce that the markets are going to be fair to us as well as to China. And so they've really had a free deal here where they exploit our market to grow while we can't tap theirs at the same type of same fair level.
Mm-hmm. And to me, there are some similarities, and of course many differences, with the relationship that we had with Japan from the mid-1980s until they hit the wall in their own economy in the mid to late 1990s. But it appeared that Japan was successfully using capitalism in a predatory way against the United States. The automotive imports that were coming in sometimes below their cost, technology, including electronics, were a key driver of Japan's economic growth and the trade deficits that we were running at that time. The big difference to me is that Japan is not a military power, and at least to date, since World War II, has not exhibited any designs on expanding its territory.
Well, yeah, that's true, and I guess with China, there might be a slight difference in the sense that they want Taiwan, and that's an important thing to them. But I don't think many people see them as a increasing military threat, but they are going to be a global power, and they've largely expanded through peaceful means. And the question is, like, what does our relationship with them look like 10, 20 years down the road from now? And it looks more and more like we're becoming enemies of one another, and the Bush administration's relationship with them seems to be quite cold. In fact, this weekend, today, when President Bush invited President Hu Jintao to come to the White House, they didn't extend a formal state dinner as they do for many other foreign dignitaries who come to the White House. Instead, they gave him this informal lunch.
It wasn't takeout, was it?
I'm not sure exactly what they had. I did see a picture where they were toasting each other, and I was wondering if that was alcohol or not. But
he uses sparkling apple cider. Bush is
very
devoted to that.
Good.
And there was also a heckler at one of the appearances. Was it at the lunch or was it at the?
It was right before the lunch. It was at the official welcoming ceremony this morning,
mm-hmm.
And so they rolled out the red carpet, welcomed President Hu Jintao in a protester starts screaming at the top of her lungs while President Hu is speaking at the podium, and she is a Falun Gong a follower,
mm-hmm.
and she writes for a paper that follows the Falun Gong, and she was criticizing President Hu for his policies and cracking down against them, his oppression tactics, and she was also calling on President Bush to take President Hu to task for that, and of course nothing was done. In fact, President Bush later had to apologize, or he at least apologized to President Hu for the outburst.
Mm-hmm. And how did she get in there?
Well, that's a good question. She's a
accredited reporter.
Yeah, she's a reporter for mm-hmm. what's called the Epoch Times, and some of you, I'm not sure if it's out in California, but it is around here. A lot of the Falun Gong hand out these newsletters, and these newsletters are in fact the Epoch Times.
Well, maybe she got Jeff Gannon's pass for the day.
You know, I wonder how she got in. I have a feeling that the White House kind of knew who she was and what she was going to do there, and allowed her to speak her piece. Because in fact, she protested for a good full minute before she was escorted away. And even when she was escorted away, it wasn't as if they had swarmed down on her. In fact, one cop just kind of led her astray while she continued to yell. So mm-hmm. I think they kind of welcomed her protest a little bit.
Yeah, if it had been Cindy Sheehan, she would have been out of there faster than he shot Bob.
Oh, yeah, you'd have seen the swarm come in, you know, five people take her to the ground. It would have been nasty.
Now, on that note, the Bush administration apparently, at least tacitly, agreed not to try to shame President Hu or to bring up, you know, nagging problems like human rights, religious freedom, the internet freedom for Chinese citizens. So there were some kinds of deals worked out that led to this less than a state visit, but with some apparent guarantees from Bush's people that it wouldn't be confrontational.
Right. That was a big Chinese demand, is that they asked the White House to ensure that when they did their question and answer with the press, that they weren't, that the Chinese were not going to have to answer questions about things like political prisoners and freedom and censorship or even the currency manipulation. So they, the White House said, okay, we'll make sure that doesn't happen. And sure enough, the questions were very tame. One general question asked the president who was, you know, what are you doing about democracy? And President Hu's answer is, I don't know what you mean about democracy. And he went on, he continued to say that, you know, they have a socialist democracy and they don't fully embrace the democracy that we know and love here in America.
Hmm. Interesting. And it's believed that the president will bring up the issue of Iran with President Hu. And we know that China is in an oil deal with Tehran and also so far has refused to vote in the Security Council at the UN for sanctions toward Tehran.
That's right. We talked earlier on your show about the rise of China as a global military threat, and I don't see them necessarily as a military threat, but how they do impact the global security is through these sorts of arrangements. What is their approach to Iran? What is their approach towards North Korea? And too often they have sided on the side of Iran and North Korea over our side. And so that continues to be a problem. In the case of North Korea, they haven't helped the six-party talks along as far as we thought they should. In the case of Iran, they continue to harbor deals with them and continue to rely on the markets there in Iran, and Iran continues to rely on China importing its fuel. So as long as that relationship exists, it's going to be hard for us to make any headway on both Iran and North Korea.
We're going to pick up there as we continue in just a moment. We're also going to talk about the personnel changes at the White House. The progress report details one that we hadn't heard about. We know about Rove's demotion. We know about Scott McClellan's resignation. But there's one more you ought to know about. And if you're faith-based, it'll excite you. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, meet the RE/MAX number one commercial agent in Arizona, Linda Gerchick. Linda will be with us this Sunday to talk about her big event at the Santa Clara Marriott on Thursday, April 27th. For more information on this event, call her at 480-248-1300. That's 480-248-1300. 480-248-1300. Don't miss the Linda Gerchick Seminar on Investing in Arizona, April 27th at the Santa Clara Marriott.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
The makeup of families in our communities are diverse, and the attitudes of adults are key in helping children feel comfortable with different kinds of families. Join Nurse Rona on Sunday to discuss the experience of children and parents in lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender families, both at home and at school.
Childhood Matters.
This Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testifies by him before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women for you.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show from the left coast all the way to Arizona and creeping eastward. We continue our weekly debrief with Faz Shakir of the Daily Progress Report. Get your own copy by logging on to progressreport.org. This is a service of the Center for American Progress in Washington. One more item about China that I wanted to touch on, Faz, before we get to the hot dish about White House personnel changes, is the whole issue of human rights. I'm one of those people who believes that Clinton made a fundamental error when he separated most favored nation status from the annual review of China's human rights policies. And we see that after, you know, a number of years of not having to confront that on an annual basis, China has felt free to set up barriers to internet access for Chinese citizens. They do continue to persecute religious believers, including the Falun Gong and Christian groups in China, and their overall human rights records and the freedom of the average Chinese citizen, they fall well below the standards that we maintain here in the West. What's your take on where things stand in terms of our effort to bring up the practices of China?
Well, I think the administration had a choice. They could have said, China, with your ongoing economic reforms, we're going to demand that you also incorporate political and democratic reforms so that your society is freer, more open, and gives rise to freedom of speech and all freedom of religion and other things. We could have demanded that. But in fact, what we allowed China to do is go ahead with its economic reforms, which benefit the U.S. businesses. And given that we have an administration that's very friendly with U.S. businesses, we allowed that to happen without asking them to go ahead with the other reforms. And I think that now, at this point in time, for us to now demand China to reform its human rights policies is kind of like it just doesn't have the international credibility you want from an administration that has detained prisoners in Guantanamo and at Abu Ghraib without ever giving them charges against them, has tortured people. And so now we put ourselves into a position where we can no longer speak from a high ground. At least in the Clinton administration, we could say, this is the way you should do things. And even if they didn't follow us or they went down the wrong path, we'd still stand on the high ground. And I'm not sure that's true anymore.
Yeah, it's quicksand. Our high ground has turned into a kind of moral quicksand. And turning now to the people, at least in part, responsible for that shift, Karl Rove got a demotion. He was smiling yesterday when photographed with the president and outgoing press secretary Scott McClellan. But the issues, in my view, go beyond just the reorg of the White House and whether Josh Bolton wants Karl Rove in a policy position. Jason Leopold, who's a frequent guest on our program and writes for Truth Out, reports in a post today that Patrick Fitzgerald met with the grand jury, introduced additional evidence against Rove, and that it was the first time this year that Fitzgerald told the, this is a new group of jurors, that he would soon present them with a list of criminal charges he intends to file against Rove in hopes of having the grand jury return a multi-count indictment against Rove. Do you sense that they are girding for his departure?
Well, you know, I saw that report, too. What's interesting is he got Rove's lawyer, Robert Luskin, on the record, and Luskin confirmed that his client, Karl Rove, is indeed a subject of the investigation. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yeah, that could have something to do with it, although I'm a little bit of a pessimist here. I think that it was all a ruse, part of Josh Bolton's shakeup, you know, to make it look like he's taking charge, when in fact they're putting Karl Rove into a role that he really had to go in. Because, you know, 6 months away from the election, that's what he wanted to be doing. He wanted to be focused on the midterms. That's where the power is. That's the focus of the White House right now. I don't think that the White House is going to be pushing out all sorts of policy initiatives, and that's not going to be a major issue for them.
Well, really, he did such a great job managing the policies of the post-Katrina recovery in the Gulf.
No, that's certainly true. His record on policy was quite horrendous. He never accomplished anything, really. In fact, the 2 years that he was at the helm at the White House, I think that was the least of their accomplishments on policy. So, you know, he wasn't very good at it. But now he's going back to what he is good at, which is politics. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see it as too much of a demotion. We talked a lot about this week the fact that he still has his security clearance. And I think that's a real issue. You know, he's going to be doing politics. Is he going to have classified information at the ready to dispense his political strategy in 06?
Well, and Cheney will be there ready to declassify it, you know, on a moment's notice.
That's absolutely true. Yep.
So for the first time when I read the progress report today, I learned that Jim Towey has left the White House. He was the recent director of the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, and he is the second person at least to hold that position since Bush took office. Why didn't this make the papers, and is it significant?
Yeah, I don't think that many people really understand who Jim Towey was. He was a former lawyer for Mother Teresa. He came in with great accolades. He was a Democrat. He still is a Democrat. So he brought a great deal of credentials to the administration, helped bolster their faith-based program by putting a good face on it. And so what Kevin Drum, a blogger at the Washington Monthly, said is that he himself, Jim Towey, was able to attract a lot of good vibes from the religious community and help build up this program, even though the White House was more concerned about politics and they wanted to push the faith-based program as more political outreach. And a lot of people who have left the faith-based office, including their former deputy director, have said that the White House was not concerned about, quote, the poor people stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that the politics took priority over the policy of the faith-based agenda.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it true that the Center for American Progress has links to a murky Costa Rican sports betting website that actually posts odds on the future of White House employees?
I, if it's true, I have no idea about this.
All right.
But,
do you and
maybe
Judd
you can enlighten me?
Do you and Judd and Christy have a pool going?
Yeah, we do have a slight pool going. That's true. Internally, we are talking about who is going to be the next to go, and who, you know, what sorts of shit.
All right, I got 30 seconds. Dish up some names.
Well, I think that we could. Well, the one that we want to go, of course, is Rumsfeld. But internally, I think that the next person, let's say Harriet Myers. How about that? I'll go
really?
With the dark horse and Harriet Myers.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of money to be made now. You know, a lot of these stories about Andy Card leaving and Scott McClellan is that they're going to fall on a whole heap of cash as they mm-hmm. leave. And so that's very alluring for people. And Josh Bolton has said, if you don't plan on serving out your term here, then you got to leave now. And so for people who've been there for 5 or 6 years, it's probably a good time to leave and cash out.
I predict snow in May. White House will announce that Jon Snow has departed sometime in the month of May. Thank you, Faz. We'll talk again next week here
Thanks,
on the Peter.
Peter
B. Collins Show. Next, we take a look at the NSA intercepts of our emails.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Suzuki Aereo SX. an impressive subcompact station wagon that's well-engineered and attractively priced. With a fuel-injected 2.3-liter four-cylinder engine and a five-speed manual transmission, this little car is quick off the line and has plenty of passing power. It handles well, has a smooth suspension, and is very well equipped for the price. Power windows, mirrors and locks, plus air conditioning and cruise control, all standard. With a transferable 100,000-mile, 7-year warranty, this is a great low-price car that competes with Honda, Kia, and Hyundai. By the numbers, the 2006 Suzuki Aereo SX gets 25 mpg in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $15,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a vibe of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit
the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
The makeup of families in our communities are diverse, and the attitudes of adults are key in helping children feel comfortable with different kinds of families. Join Nurse Rona on Sunday to discuss the experience of children and parents in lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender families, both at home and at school.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
The story is true.
And where is Sergeant Joe Friday when we need him? And I just don't know how tech-savvy Joe Friday would be at dealing with intercepted email transmissions. So we are going to deputize Ryan Single to play the part of Joe Friday for the next half hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Nice to talk with you. You write for Wired News, and you've been on top of this story about that secret little room in San Francisco at the AT&T switch. And for background, we're talking about the NSA eavesdropping program that was revealed by the New York Times after they sat on the story for a year. That disclosure was decried by the president and the vice president as a gross breach of our security and a threat to the safety of our nation. And as we learn more and more, some of this information comes out inadvertently. And there's a guy named Mark Klein, who used to work for AT&T, who has become a source of some very powerful information, and we're piecing together fragments of this program. Tell us a little bit about Mark Klein and what kind of information he brought forward.
Sure. Mark Klein is a former AT&T technician, lived in the Bay Area, worked for AT&T for about 22 years, and according to some public statements he's made, that when he was there, he was worried that that there was eavesdropping that was going on that wasn't, let's say, legitimate. And so he saved a few documents when he left. Mm-hmm. And I believe he actually didn't come forward until after the New York Times revealed the extrajudicial eavesdropping.
That is my understanding as well.
Mm-hmm. So he has he is basically the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a sort of a digital civil liberties group, filed a class action lawsuit against AT&T at the end of January. That lawsuit claims that AT&T was helping the government spy on its customers' emails and phone calls, mm-hmm. and that violated state and federal law. And I think what happened is that most of that lawsuit, the basis of it is Mark Klein coming forward, talking, both what he says he saw and the documents that he has.
Mm-hmm. And you report, this piece was posted, by the way, on the 12th of April at truthout.org, which is where a lot of our listeners get information. And you wrote, AT&T built a secret room in its San Francisco switching station that funnels internet traffic data from AT&T WorldNet dial-up customers and traffic from AT&T's massive internet backbone to the NSA. Now, I can appreciate that you don't know everything, but tell us what you do know about how this process works. Is it simply a kind of filter that looks for keywords like Osama, I'm going to do what you told me?
That's a really good question. There's a lot that's not known. What is known at this point, according to the documents and Klein's statement, is that there is this secret room where portions of the fiber optic network are split into there, which isn't really a simple process because you kind of have to splice off the wire. So it's not a simple thing to do. So this is the general switching center they use, one of many they use, mm-hmm. To sort of move your traffic around. From if you're a WorldNet customer and then you want to send an email to somebody who's an Earthlink customer, mm-hmm. They've got to meet up somewhere.
Okay, but aren't these digital switches so that cable splicing or jacks and patch cords wouldn't be required? It would be more computer directed systems.
According to Klein's statement, it's actually a little bit. There's a weird physical stuff because you're dealing with fiber optics, so you're dealing with light. So what you're trying to do is siphon off a little bit of that signal.
I see.
So it's not quite as simple as just adding at your home network and adding an extra computer. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit harder than that, and it's also difficult because you're talking about an immense amount of data. It's unclear. There's all sorts of levels of data, and it's not clear from what Klein has said publicly what level of data is going in there. Are they just seeing certain routing information, that this packet is headed towards an Earthlink customer, or are you getting down to the contents of communication? Mm-hmm. It's really unclear. Mm-hmm. It's also not totally clear yet. Klein says this room was for NSA, and that he had been told that the NSA was coming in to interview somebody, and that person was the person that would run that room. Mm-hmm. But so far, it's not exactly clear that it is NSA. It's sort of Klein's word at this point. Though the NSA and the president admit that they are doing wiretapping and email monitoring outside of the FISA court.
Well, and the big phone companies have either acknowledged or failed to deny that they have been collaborating with the NSA on its intercept and collection programs. Isn't that fair to say?
That would be fair to say. They You know, they say that they work with the government for national security purposes, and you know that everything they do is lawful. So it may well be that you know this, you know, if this is part of the extrajudicial wiretapping, that the NSA wrote them a you know a letter that says, you know, this is a presidential directive and you guys are immune. It'll be one of the things that we'll find out as the court case goes along, whether NSA just actually has immunity.
Well, I think that's an important point, because I can imagine that these phone companies are pretty heavily lawyered, and if I were counsel to one of them, I'd say, look, before you do this, make sure that you have your liability covered and signed off by a high-ranking decision-maker who we could later hold accountable.
I believe that you're right there. AT&T certainly has a big bevy of lawyers, so I assume that you know there was some, you know, when they asked to build this room, if the NSA, you know, if this is the NSA room, that there was, I assume, some high-level sign-off, both within the company and, you know, something from, say, the NSA or in the administration.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan, how much, and again, I want you to just be candid with us on things you don't know, either because they haven't been revealed or because, for example, you don't know the intricate details of telephone networking. I know even less, so that's why I'm asking the questions.
Sure.
I'm dangerous enough to know a little bit about electronics and how signals travel, so I have some sense of the way these things work. But how many switching centers, in telephone parlance, they usually just call it a switch, but how many of these switching centers do you think there are around the country?
Oh, that would be really difficult to say. I mean, there's quite a number of, you know, AT&T has them all over the country. And in fact, Klein says that he knows or said that he had heard of similar rooms, sort of spy rooms, in, I think, five or six other locations. So
yeah, mostly along the West Coast. I read a newspaper account about that.
Yeah, so Los Angeles, San Diego, Seattle, probably also Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that some experts have looked at that and said, you know, this actually fits in with, you know, what the administration says that they are doing, which is we're looking for communications from Americans who are talking to people who are reasonably suspected of belonging to Al-Qaeda, so that mm-hmm. you would assume that would be out. Most of those people would be outside the country. Most major cities going to have some sort of switching center, but generally they kind of feed a few massive ones. But I can't give you a good answer for that.
Okay. And again, to the best of your knowledge, do you know if this secret room that was located at a switch, an AT&T switch in San Francisco, was dedicated to Internet intercepts, or was it also capable of voice intercepts of telephone calls?
What Klein saw is actually only Internet. Internet is a harder problem. You know, since the government passed a law called CALEA back in the mid-90s, which mandated that phone providers build in certain wiretapping capabilities to make it easy for the government to, when they have a warrant, come to AT&T and say, we want this kind of information. And there were very detailed specifications. So that capability has been in the phone system for a long time. The Internet is a tougher problem because everything's packetized and it moves really in weird ways, and you kind of have a dumb network where things flow all over, where the telephone system, it's so point-to-point, it's a lot easier to grab onto a conversation.
Mm-hmm. It's also easier to identify the origin and the, what's the other end of the call?
Yes.
The caller and the called.
Yes, exactly. You know, because it's not an easy thing to do always with a packet, because, you know, packets end up, they might be sent through a proxy, so you don't actually know often where they start or where they're going to go, especially if someone, you know, if you really want to hide your Internet traffic, there are some, and people have legitimate reasons for doing so, there are ways to do it, so AT&T wouldn't know when they looked at it what they had.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm rereading the quote that I just cited from your article. And you say here that AT&T built a secret room that funnels Internet traffic data from AT&T WorldNet dial-up customers.
Yes.
So does that mean AT&T broadband customers were routed elsewhere, aren't being monitored? We don't know.
I would say at this point we don't know. It seems clear that the Klein had kind of a limited view, and he took what he saw, and you know is only saying what he knows. One would assume that if this was for the dial-up customers, that there would be a similar situation for the broadband folks.
Mm-hmm.
And also it seems that, you know, that what Klein also says is that it's not just WorldNet dial-up, because there are also the links where where AT&T's network meets QWest's, for instance, where that little portion is also being fed into the box.
Mm-hmm.
So one would assume that AT&T is not alone on this. The USA Today reported in February that three other big telecoms were, including Sprint, had also participated.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to pause for a break here. Ryan Single is our guest, S-I-N-G-E-L. You can read the piece we're talking about at truthout.org. It's entitled AT&T Seeks to Hide Spy Docs, dated April 12th. And as we continue, I want to talk about the data mining equipment made by a company called Naris, and see if I could order one to get these penis enlargement emails out of my out of my inbox. And that is the signal we try to send on a daily basis to our own NSA minder. We call him Benny. Don't actually know who he is or that he exists, but you're working hard, and we're sorry that you have to listen to every word of the Peter B. Collins Show, Benny. But do keep our nation safe at all costs. We'll pick up in a moment. Your calls are welcome. If you'd like to join us and talk about how the government is intercepting emails, get on the line now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll-free from anywhere within the sound of my voice. That's 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays, in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, monitored and approved by the National Security Agency for your consumption today. Did I mention I met a guy named Osama the other day? He's really tall. I didn't ask him about his kidneys. Yes, our music of the moment from the Was Brothers, Was Not Was. Is there a spy in your house of love? Are your emails as confidential as you might believe? Well, you shouldn't be believing they're confidential. Because based on what little we know, and there's a lot more to find out, there are special rooms set up next to telephone switching systems at switch centers around the nation, with little boxes that we believe can filter your email and look for things like, I just met Osama over the weekend. And it's true, I did meet a guy named Osama, but he's a U.S. citizen and not a member of Al-Qaeda, to the best of my knowledge. We continue our conversation with Ryan Single of Wired Magazine and Wired News. And the box is described as a data mining device made by a company called Naris. And I have given it the model name JPTIA version 2.0. And that's in honor of John Poindexter and Total Information Awareness. You think that'd work, Ryan?
I don't know if their marketing guys will agree with you there. But
yeah. So what is this gizmo? I hear it costs millions of dollars, and how does it work?
Sure. It's an interesting machine. It basically lets you have sort of billions of bits of internet traffic flowing through it, and you can use it for a number of different things. Say you were you could use it if you were AT&T and you wanted to use it to watch out for particular worm traffic. So you want to look for traffic that's attacking a certain port. So you might be able to use it actually just to try and cut down on internet threats or mm-hmm. to protect your network. But it's also something that the company has marketed to the government. According to what little information is out there that they've made public, it also seems like you can get down to the level where you can look at the contents of communication. You might be able to even get at reconstitute a phone call that you made using a voiceover IP phone mm-hmm. or internet telephony and search for certain words. Its capabilities seem pretty capable. It seems like a very capable sort of futuristic machine.
And what you just described there is something that can decipher digital bits reflecting text as well as digital bits reflecting voice.
Yes, I've heard rumors of that employees there to have jokingly called it Big Brother in a box. Mm-hmm. So I think it has its legitimate uses. The question is it being misused at this point by the NSA?
Yeah,
that's something that we're going to have to find out.
Mm-hmm. Now, we understood that the FBI was using a kind of software, and I'm trying to think of the name, and it doesn't come to mind.
Carnivore?
Carnivore, thank you.
Yes.
Is this similar to the Carnivore program?
This Carnivore was, It had a great name. It was not a really good piece of software.
Really? FBI, a great brand and a lousy box.
Yeah. The FBI has never been known for their technology skills. In fact, in some ways, it's actually kind of embarrassingly bad. Like, a lot of FBI agents can't even email one another. They don't have email addresses yet.
And some of them don't know that Commodore has been out of the computer business for over 10 years.
Exactly, yes. They've wasted millions of dollars trying to update their systems. So, FBI agents, for the most part, they rely on, wiretap that they get from a judge, and then that just goes to that goes to AT&T or that goes to whoever, whatever phone service, and those guys give them the information.
Right.
Carnivore was not high technology. It was just kind of a packet sniffer, and it had to sit at a specific router. So, like, it had to be on one box. It couldn't handle that much traffic. If you go back and read some of the documents, you kind of see that it was actually pretty embarrassingly bad.
Mm-hmm.
So this is this would allow you to do things. Actually, your total information awareness joke is actually pretty apt, because that program was all about looking for patterns, right? They wanted this idea that, if we come up with what the patterns of communications among terrorists looks like, we can search for those patterns. And I think that some of the traffic analysis here is much that same way, that you're not so much listening for every time someone says a sama, you're more looking for, maybe you look for a pattern of communications. Somebody calls every Tuesday at 10 a.m. They call somebody in Boston, and mm-hmm. 2 hours later, from a payphone nearby, that person calls someone in Florida, right? So that would be a way for the person in, Chicago to talk to the person in Florida via Boston, and you start to figure out that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, I think, the system sounds a little bit more like your kind of weird prediction utility than
an intercept.
Yeah, then let's mm-hmm. suck everything up. But yeah. I assume once you start to narrow those, you say this thing looks, these group of 12 people look like a terrorist group, you're going to start intercepting a lot more than just who's calling who.
Let's take a call. Xavier in Santa Cruz, thanks for joining us. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Ryan Single.
Oh, hi, Peter. Hi, you guys. This is some really good information. I just wanted to mention, I'm kind of a privacy enthusiast, so even if this did, if I felt this was making me safe, I'd still kind of look at it with a jaundiced eye. But
I'll top you on that, Xavier. I'm sorry. This is un-American.
Yeah.
And I believe it is flatly against the law.
Right. But my question is...
Without a warrant. If they have a warrant, I'll step aside.
Okay. I'm wondering, since we've got a situation now where shipping containers aren't being searched, and I don't even know if they have hardened cabin doors yet, there's a lot of things I don't really think they're trying to make us safer. And my question is this the latest iteration of COINTELPRO? I'm just wondering if, are they searching for words like God willing, or are they searching for words like vegan? is this just to filter out their political opponents? I think I heard something they were spying on some Democratic candidates, their campaign, private.
Well, the vegan group is real. It's in Indianapolis, and it was subject to special surveillance. Ryan?
Yes. I think for the large part, I would actually say that things have changed for the better since the days of J. Edgar Hoover. I do think that there's a feeling in the administration that the last thing that you want to have happen on your watch is have another large terrorist attack again. And I think that's what really drives this. And so then you get some excesses. So you get, food not bombs, a group that's dedicated to the principle of giving free food away to homeless people, who end up getting this, that the Department of Defense decides is a threat, or as we saw and everybody saw Fahrenheit 9/11, when the protest, there was the local police officer as part of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, started to be part of a peace group.
Mm-hmm. I would still like to say that
those are more the exceptions than the rule.
Well, over in Lodi, they paid a guy $250,000 to become best friends with Umar Hayat, and appears to me they tried to frame him. Ryan, thank you for your expertise. I know this is a story in progress. Get back in touch when you know more, will you?
Will do. Thanks for having me on, Peter.
Great to talk with you. Ryan Single from Wired News. Coming up next, San Francisco Chronicle reporter John Koopman, fresh back from Iraq, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
As the White House welcomes China's president, an embarrassing moment on the 7th anniversary of Columbine, a school shooting plot in Kansas.
Somebody surfing MySpace brought it to our attention.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Chinese President Hu Jintao made his much-anticipated visit to the White House today, and it didn't come off exactly as planned. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
The day has seen a cascade of images and rhetoric. A fanfare for the Chinese president at a welcoming ceremony marred by a human rights protester who made it past security to a camera platform where she heckled the Chinese president. There was positive trade talk from both leaders.
Mutually beneficial cooperation and win-win outcomes represent the mainstream.
He's used the word win-win, and that's a very important concept.
But there was no breakthrough on trade or the many other differences between the U.S. and China. As Presidents Bush and Hu toasted each other at a glittering East Room luncheon, there were promises of continued cooperation. The details were left for future U.S.-Chinese talks. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
That heckler shrieked at Hu for nearly 2 full minutes before she was led away by Secret Service officers and charged with disorderly conduct. She's identified as 47-year-old Wengwei Wang of New York, who got into the press area with credentials from a Chinese-American newspaper. A White House official says President Bush later apologized for the episode, and President Hu was gracious in accepting the apology. There was a diplomatic blunder at the welcoming ceremony when they played the Chinese national anthem. The White House announcer introduced it as the anthem of the Republic of China. That's Taiwan. Mainland China is officially known as the People's Republic. Now this.
Diane Mintz is a realtor. She helps people buy and sell real estate. But those aren't the only people Diane helps.
Every year I send inner city children to camp.
She knows that something that the kids may learn from camp may change their life completely.
The Realtor Code of Ethics is about treating people fairly and honestly. I make a promise to conduct business fairly, and I've also made a promise to these kids.
Across the country, realtors like Diane Mintz are making a difference in their communities and setting examples for others to do the same. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
If you take pain relievers like Advil, Aleve, and Celebrex, you're taking an NSAID. And NSAIDs all work in a similar way. But Tylenol is different. Because Tylenol is not an NSAID. To learn more about how Tylenol is different, talk to your doctor and visit Tylenol.com. Stop. Think. Tylenol.com. Take only as directed.
7 years ago today, two teenage outcasts in Littleton, Colorado, arrived at Columbine High School locked and loaded. Before they took their own lives, 12 fellow students and a teacher were dead. Today, authorities in Riverton, Kansas, accused 5 boys of plotting a Columbine anniversary rampage at their high school. Superintendent David Walker says they first got wind of it online.
There was a reference to 420 and flak jackets in our school on MySpace.
And a woman in North Carolina who'd been chatting with one of the suspects called police when she received a hit list of about a dozen people at Riverton High. The boys had allegedly been planning an attack since the beginning of the school year. In one suspect's bedroom, police say they found guns, ammunition, knives, and coded messages. The government says traffic deaths rose to a 15-year high in 2005, 43,200. New research shows that most vehicle crashes can be traced to distracted driving. CBS News correspondent John Harchie has details.
Virginia Tech placed cameras and sensors in 100 cars and recorded drivers for a year. They drove 2 million miles. They had 82 crashes and 761 near crashes, and in most of those, drivers were not fully tending to driving.
We found a very high prevalence of drowsiness.
Dr. Charlie Clower says that raised the crash risk fourfold. This was the most common driver distraction, but not the only thing raising risk.
Any single type of task where the drivers were forced to look away from the forward roadway repeatedly.
This real-world study found driver inattention a far bigger factor in accidents than police reports have estimated. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The defense rested today at the Zacharias Moussaoui death penalty trial after presenting more 9/11 family members who want to spare his life.
We are all part of the human family. None of us is beyond redemption.
Alice Hoagland's son Mark Bingham was killed on United Flight 93. The government conceded today that despite Moussaoui's claim, it has no evidence that he and shoe bomber Richard Reed were supposed to fly a fifth plane. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball. And with the new season here, XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every team, so you can follow your favorite team wherever you are. And XM has America's largest playlist, including the most commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. XM Satellite Radio. Listen large. Price after mail-in rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
Your next flight or vacation package on Priceline, and you could win one of five ultimate upgrades. A luxurious trip for you and your friends in your own private jet provided by One Sky Network, plus limo service and $5,000 in cash. Hurry, it's only for a limited time and only on Priceline. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends May 8th. For full details, visit Priceline.com.
You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We are live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And we welcome our brand new listeners on the all-new KPHX Progressive 1480 in Phoenix, Arizona. Coming up next hour, our daily feature, the Free Speech Zone, where we take your calls and let you spout off on any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And this hour, your calls are welcome, too. If you have any questions or comments about the situation in Iraq, John Koopman is our guest for this hour. He is a reporter and correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle. He spent at least 2 weeks, he'll give us the stats in a second, in Iraq at the end of March and early part of April. And welcome to our program today, John Koopman.
Thanks, Peter. I appreciate it.
Give us a quick sketch of the timeline when you were there.
We took off for March 1st, actually, and spent the entire month of March and 2 weeks of April.
Okay. So you were there 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know that during the invasion, you were embedded because I interviewed you after you returned from that round.
Uh-huh.
And based on your datelines, I get the idea that you were not embedded and not staying in your hotel or trapped in the green zone the entire time.
Well, this is actually my third trip. I went back. I was there for the couple of months in the summer of 04 as well. So, you're always in Iraq. You're either an embedded reporter or you live. You work in a bureau and you work in a compound and. In a safe area adjacent to the green zone, and it's neat. There's no situation that's useful or very helpful in reporting or understanding the Iraq situation. I was essentially embedded with different units across the country. We started off in Fallujah and areas in and around the Fallujah area, and then out to Al-Assad, and then to Al-Qaim, which is on the Syrian border, and then back to Fallujah and back to Baghdad to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. And before I poison you with any of my own ideas here, give us just your sense of, and compare, if you wish, to your previous exploits in Iraq. Is the situation the way the Bush administration describes it? And is there just oodles of good news that is being ignored by reporters like you?
The truth about Iraq is nobody understands the truth about Iraq. The Bush administration, less than anybody, but the fact is that it's just a horribly complex situation over there. It's neither as bad as people want to portray it, nor as good as people want to portray it. This is a huge nation, 25 million people, landmass the size of Oregon and Washington combined. I like to tell people it's kind of like California. You know, if you visit California and you fly into Sacramento and you spend a couple weeks in Sacramento and then leave, you know, do you really understand what California is about? Not really. I've been there three times. I don't really have a good grasp of this place because it's so incredibly difficult to report out of there. Just the logistics of it and the danger of it. You know, you just can't walk out and talk to anybody that you want to. You can't talk to the citizens at large. You can do it a little bit. But it's hard, you know. I mean, the fact is that yeah, you know, there are good things that go on in Iraq. You know, there are elections. There are a lot of new schools. There's a lot of opportunities for people. And there's a lot of violence. And there's a lot of death. And it all depends on, you know, where you're living and, you know, what your tribe is and what your ethnicity is and whether you're Sunni or a Shia. It's just horribly complex. And so, you know, the important thing I like to tell people is, like, you know, you can't listen to any one source. If when conservatives or when the Bush administration wants to talk about all the good things that are happening, it's not all good. And, you know, I've spent enough time with the military, you know, the military is doing some very good things over there, but they, you know, they have an interest in spinning things as well. And so, you know, when you're with the military, they want to spin things in a positive light for their own particular purposes. And there's a lot of people who, obviously, as you well know, I mean, people who protest the war vehemently to the point of seeing everything as an absolute mind-bogglingly horrific bloodbath. And it's not that either.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, based on the administration reports, really the Sunni triangle, the border area that you visited near Qaim, is that how you say it?
Al-Qaim.
Al-Qaim, Q-A-I-M.
That's correct.
And a few other zones are where, you know, there is a relatively consistent violence and a high level of risk.
Yeah.
But there are large portions of the country where things are relatively placid. Is that fair to say?
Oh, it's very fair to say. Certainly in the north and the south, the Kurds have effectively, I think, turned the northern area into a de facto Kurdistan. I've never been up there, to be honest. I don't want to speak as if I have firsthand knowledge. I've talked to a lot of reporters who've gone up into that area, and you know, the northern area is about as calm a place as you'll find in the Middle East, which is not saying a lot, but it's better than the Sunni Triangle. And the south is the same way, but you know, I think the interesting thing is that, you know, you see the news every day and you see things that are being said about this car bombing or this sectarian violence. But what's missing is that, like, there's a low roar of violence that exists everywhere. And even in the places in the south, you know, like I just took a short side trip to the, you know, south of Baghdad about 30, 40 miles, which is still kind of close in. But, you know, you go down there and it's like, you know, you don't hear any stories out of there. There's no news. There's no datelines there. But, you know, you hang out with the soldiers down there and they're talking about, oh, yeah, there was a roadside bomb yesterday and there was a guy killed a couple weeks ago. We found a couple bodies the other day. So, like, it's just there's this constant stream of violence. But sometimes I think people become so inured to it that only the suicide bombings get the attention anymore.
Mm-hmm. But to live in a situation like that, where there is a kind of consistent level of violence or a threat that you go to the store for a loaf of bread or, you know, just casual outings that an average citizen puts him or herself at risk. And, you know, that flies in the face of the idea that Iraq is getting back on track, that people can go to work. And you cited opportunities a minute ago. What kind of job creation is there You know, last time I read, the unemployment rate for males was in the range of 40 or 45%.
Yeah, it's still bad, and you know that's a huge issue. It, you know, it's even an issue to the extent that it is a factor in the violence, because if you're just a regular, you don't have to be an insurgent to perpetuate violence against certainly the Americans. In fact, that's one of the big things. You can make the going rate is $150 to plant a roadside bomb. So a lot of these guys, they got no money, they got no opportunities, they got no way to feed their families, and so, you know, $150, that's not a bad day's wage. Well, you know, you might not do that every day, but you know, you can go to your local insurgent cell and offer up your services, and you can go out and plant a roadside bomb, or if you can, you know, bring back some proof that you launch an ambush or whatever, you make money that way. And the fact is that the continuing violence prohibits anybody, whether the U.S. government or the Iraqi government or anybody else, from coming in and creating any kind of industry or jobs program to get people off the streets and making some money. There is an effort, I know, out at the border. The border is closed right now, but the Marine commander who controls the Al-Qaim area is very interested in getting permission to open the gate to Syria on the other side. The Syrians, in fact, are right now building a customs house. You can see it from the American side. And the Americans want to do the same thing. The idea being that you kind of, especially along the Syrian border, you invite a lot of bad guys to come in and do violence. But at the same time, you allow commerce. And if you can allow commerce, that means people are busy, they're working, they're making money, and they're a lot less prone to try to kill you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and continue. John Koopman is our guest. He's a writer, a reporter, and correspondent who just spent 6 weeks in Iraq and reported for the San Francisco Chronicle. If you'd like to read his dispatches, many of them are still available at the Chronicle's website, sfgate.com. And a hint, Koopman is spelled with a K, K-O-O-P-M-A-N. Just put him in the search engine there, and it'll pull up a lot of the recent articles. If you have a question or comment, I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open right now at 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. Toll free from anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet the RE/MAX number one commercial agent in Arizona, Linda Gerchick. Linda will be with us this Sunday to talk about her big event at the Santa Clara Marriott on Thursday, April 27th. For more information on this event, call her at 480-248-1300. That's 480-248-1300. 480-248-1300. Don't miss the Linda Gerchick Seminar on Investing in Arizona, April 27th at the Santa Clara Marriott.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters, this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. My topic is how to make your life more beautiful. This Zesty show is about why your living space is so important. You'll want to hear what our guests have to say. Ron Morgan, based in Oakland, is one of the most sought-after and well-recognized floral designers in the United States. And Rochelle Goodfriend is founder and owner of Spirited Spaces Design Consultants. The conversation will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Do you know how colors affect you in every way? What about the current trend in TV home makeovers? How can you make the best use of professional help? Keep listening and we'll keep talking about things that matter. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. How to make your life more beautiful. This Saturday at 3.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. It's 419, and here she is, Amy Knight.
Not too bad, but we have two problems to talk about. In Prunedale, southbound 101 at Echo Valley Road, a large amount of gravel has been spilled in the lane, so drive with caution. It's especially in the turn lane. Also, in Santa Cruz, a crash with three cars has been cleared out of the roadway. South 17 at Highway 1 looks like it's just been moved to a nearby parking lot. But nevertheless, traffic may be still a little slow there in the Fishhook, South 17 at Highway 1. This report brought to you by Caltrans and the Office of Traffic Safety. If you're going to use your cell phone while driving, don't use it in highway work zone. Decrease distraction, stay safe, and slow for the cone zone. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We're going to check back with you in about half an hour.
I'll talk to you then.
Okay, thanks. Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you have a question about the situation in Iraq. 831-899-5792, Central Coast. Or the toll-free line, 1-888-579-2540. We continue debriefing John Koopman from the San Francisco Chronicle, just back from 6 weeks in Iraq, most of the month of March. And, did you get back in time to file your tax returns?
Just barely.
And, John, you mentioned that among the cities you visited was Fallujah. Describe what you saw there. That's the city that has been the site of two assaults by U.S. forces. We used to call them coalition forces. And, it's been a very difficult place for people to live and survive. What is life like in Fallujah these days?
Yeah, Fallujah's pretty messed up. You don't go through a battle the likes of which they did back in November of 2004 without losing a lot. But I have to say that it's been more than a year now. A lot of the rubble has been cleared away, and in many respects, I mean, Fallujah is not a whole lot different from Baghdad if you're driving through it, if you're looking around. I mean, this is a country that's just it's been devastated. I mean, there's rubble everywhere. There's, buildings are falling down. You can't clear that stuff away. I mean, tanks have gone through there, artillery's gone through there and knocked things down. But life goes on. Life is back. I don't want to say life is back to normal. A lot of people are in Fallujah. I want to say it's a population of about 600,000 before the war. I have no idea what it is now, but, it's not. There's a thriving bazaar. People go about their business like they do everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are sections of the city, certainly houses, areas that are completely abandoned. I know people have left Fallujah and not returned. Like I said, the population is probably, maybe half or whatever that it was before the assault. But it's still Fallujah and its sister city of Ramadi, which is just down the road, are still, if you're an American troop, it's probably the most dangerous place for you to be in the entire country of Iraq. Baghdad is probably more dangerous if you're an Iraqi. But every day there's these little towns outside of Fallujah, one called Al Karma, where, there were several American Marines were killed in a firefight just the other day. It's been a nasty little town since the beginning, and it's still a nasty little town. That wasn't even attacked the way that Fallujah was. So that little that little strip, Ramadi, Fallujah, Karma, it's real bad.
Yeah. We recently interviewed a filmmaker, an American from Santa Barbara, who was in Fallujah during the siege in the fall of 2004. And he, depicted in his documentary life from the perspective of the people who hunkered down and lived through that second siege.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty powerful to hear their comments and their perspective. And one of the things that was fascinating to me is that he related that people in Fallujah don't believe that there is a guy named Zarqawi. They consider him to be some sort of mythical figure who's been created to give people, a sense of the insurgency and to kind of personalize it.
Uh-huh.
But they said there were jokes going around. A little kid came up at one point, was kind of acting provocative with a stick or something, and his dad said, "Yeah, there's Zarqawi."
Well, I don't want to cast aspersions on people. Iraq is one of those kinds of places where that's not uncommon. The rumor mills, odd and strange, you hear this a lot. I don't know Mr. Zarqawi myself. I can't speak for whether he's there.
He didn't ask you for a pack of camels?
Well, he might have. I just didn't recognize him. It's very possible. Interestingly, now these days you don't hear his name much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not even from the Americans. I have read some things that suggest why that might be, including the fact that Zarqawi was becoming a little bit too much the focal point, and he's not an Iraqi. So a lot of the insurgent groups, and there are many, the insurgency in Iraq is nothing like you would have found in any other, not like Vietnam, it's not like the Viet Cong or something like that. I mean,
then give us a quick sketch of who you include when you mean the insurgency. Is it simply Sunnis and Shiites who are duking it out to see who's going to have the muscle in the future?
Well, the violence in Iraq today has two separate and very distinct faces. The Sunni versus Shia thing is completely independent of the insurgency against the American presence and well, not only the Americans but the Iraqi government officials, whether they're police officers or soldiers or whatever. They're all seen as the same, occupiers, so to speak. But the Sunni versus Shia thing is completely sectarian. And that's not to say that there aren't people who do both, insurgent activities and fighting against their fellow Muslims. But that's a very distinct thing whose roots go back in Iraq decades and in the Muslim world, 1400 years. So that's one thing. The insurgency is a completely different animal. This insurgency is just everybody who hates or wants to kick the Americans and their puppet government, and I say that, Lucy, it is an elected government now, for better or worse, but they want to kick the government out of office. And so that group of people is totally different, and it consists of several different types, starting with, what you can call like the international jihadists. And these are people who come from all over, the Wahhabis from Saudi Arabia, guys, Chechens, Lebanese who just want to go fight against, the infidel.
And the U.S. sources indicate that there are roughly 1,000 people who would fit that description in the country.
Yeah, we're not talking about
a significant group.
Yeah, and usually you can tell them by the sophistication of their attacks. Sometimes those guys, they use things like shaped charges that will blast through, American armored vehicles. Unlike the regular just, garden variety insurgents use things like, found mortars or artillery shells and, they blow up and they can do some harm. But sometimes it's the sophistication of the attacks, or even if it's a small arms attack, the troops will tell you. You can tell the serious jihadists because, they'll do things like fire and maneuver on you. Just your regular garden variety insurgent will just pop off a few rounds and then run.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows what's coming once he does that, which is a lot of heavy firepower back in his direction. So anyway, you have the international jihadists. You have former, you know, the Saddam loyalists, former Ba'ath right. Party officials who were continuing to fight the war.
Mm-hmm.
You have thuggery. You have essentially like mafia type guys out there just doing bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have just the low level, you know, guys who
are looking for dinner.
Well, you know, it's a combination of things. They're looking
John,
for dinner.
We got to stop for a break.
Oh, sure.
We'll pick up there as we continue. John Koopman from the San Francisco Chronicle is my guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests, and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. So join us this Saturday night, 6 to 7, on Reality Radio with Sheila Gale on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Our guest John Koopman is with us for the remainder of this hour. So if you have a question about Iraq, here's your chance to get an answer from somebody who's been there. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. or use the toll-free line at 1-888-579-2540. A little power music from Neil Young, who's got a new album coming out that apparently is all protest songs about the war in Iraq. Have to listen for that. He's the minstrel of the Santa Cruz Mountains. We continue with John Koopman. He's a correspondent from the San Francisco Chronicle, just completed his third trip to Iraq, 6 weeks in March and part of April. And I should point out, just for fun, that in between the combat duty, he got a plush plum assignment. To cover sex. That was really tough. It really brought out the voyeur in you, didn't it, John?
You know, what I tell people is that the Chronicle was too cheap to give me a raise, so they just gave me a good beat, good fun beat to work on for a year.
And some free passes to the Mitchell Brothers Theater?
Well, it was all because of work. That's the only reason I was there, Peter.
And how did that play at home, John? I don't know about your domestic life, but if I tried to do that, I'd have to stay in a motel.
You know, around the time they asked me to do that, they were also talking about having me return to Iraq, and I just went home one day and I said, "Honey, I have good news and bad news." So she was okay with it. You know, frankly, she had to be, because I told her, you know, it's like, as a reporter, I said, you know, like, even if I were inclined to, you know, do anything more than look, it's a conflict of interest. I get fired for it, so yeah. You know, it's pretty much a lock.
And you're still working.
I'm still working. I'm still married.
All right. Let's go back to where we had to pause for a commercial break. And that was, you were describing the different components, the different elements subsumed as the insurgency. It's a variety of different types of fighters.
Yeah, and just to finish up the last thought is just that, you know, there's a group of people out there who, again, some of it's economic. You know, they know they can make some money. But, you know, that's not the only reason anybody does anything. You know, the American presence has been very heavy-handed in Iraq from the beginning. I mean, you can sort of understand that with when you invade a country. But even in the aftermath, you know, when I was there in 2004, you know, there was just a lot of when Americans went through, you know, neighborhoods looking for weapons or insurgents. You know, they went in hard and heavy. They were knocking down doors. They didn't really care about whether they ticked anybody off. They just, because they, you know, their whole thing was, you know, we're fighting. This is a fight, you know. So they would go in, and they would go in hard and heavy, and they would take care of business, and you know, then they would detain people, they would arrest people, and then you had Abu Ghraib and things like that, and it made people angry. And so I think, you know, out there you have among those same people, there's a lot of dissatisfied people. They're mad. Maybe they have a revenge on their mind. Maybe somebody was killed, rightly or wrongly, it doesn't matter. But if your brother was shot by American forces, no matter what he was doing, you know, you might think that you owe it to him to extract some revenge. And so I think there's a lot of little bad guys out there who are doing, you know, violence. Not necessarily on a large scale, but on a small scale, or at worst, you know, they're just allowing their homes to be used to house foreign fighters, or to keep weapons there because they know, for whatever reason, that they don't think the Americans will look there. So you see, I think there's a lot of that as well.
An opinion. Is John Murtha correct in his assessment that the U.S. occupation is now what is a unifying factor for the disparate elements in Iraq?
Well, it's hard to answer that, because that would really require sitting down with a lot of those people and discussing that with them. I think that that certainly seems logical. I mean, you know, I'm not sure you can say anything more than that without really sitting down with some of these people. But I'll tell you an interesting observation that a Marine officer made with me. One of the purpose for this particular trip was that I wanted to go and look at the U.S. military advisors and what they're doing to try to stand up the Iraqi army and police, that being, according to the Bush administration, the linchpin for any kind of a withdrawal. that was my purpose for going there, and that's actually the story that I'm working on right now. But, you know, and so one of a Marine officer I was talking to about this was talking about how, you know, they try to make sure that Iraqis are involved with everything that they do these days, Iraqi army or police. And he used a term, he said, we'll act as a windbreak for them. In other words, we'll take the brunt of the insurgency. If the insurgents want to focus on us, that's great because that allows the Iraqis time to figure out how to create their army and their police and get their institutions in order and that sort of thing. So I think that was kind of an implicit agreement with that. Yeah, of course, you know, Americans driving through town, Americans firing mortars or artillery on suspected insurgent, you know, hideouts. That brings a focus on you no matter what your intentions are.
Is what you saw consistent with the dictionary definition of civil war?
That's a hard question. It's the biggest question that people talk about in Iraq today, and especially among like journalists, you know, reporters. When we get together, there's a place in the green zone where you have to go to get credentialed, and you know you might stay there for a couple of days waiting for a flight out to wherever you're going. And I was there a couple of times, and you know you always end up hanging out with reporters, and that's the big issue. That was the big issue at the time because it was just prior to that people started using the term civil war. And frankly, I have a hard time seeing it as a civil war. But maybe it's because when I think of civil war, I think of the Spanish Civil War or the American Civil War, where you had literally like, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people fighting against millions of people. I mean, what I hear on the ground, what people tell me, is that it does not seem to have sparked yet. I mean, there is a lot of sectarian violence. But one of the things that makes me think it's not exactly a civil war is that I think a lot of the things that have been done so far, the bombings of the mosques and that sort of thing, in a different environment could have launched the kind of civil war that we saw in Spain in the 30s. The spark is there. World War II was launched with just, you know, assassinating an archduke. I mean, mm-hmm. you can get great, you know, throngs of people to fight if you spark them that way. And frankly, I'm not seeing that yet. You know, you do absolutely. Mosques are being bombed. People are being found, shot to death, beheaded, hanged. But I think it's, you know, considering the size of the nation and how many people are involved, I think my personal feeling is it's pretty low level. It's dictionary definition probably would say, yeah, it's a civil war because you have people of one sect fighting, you know, desperately against people of another sect. I have not seen the brush fire happen yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I do think by the textbook definition, I haven't been there, I acknowledge that, but from what I've read and seen, it really seems like a civil war, and I don't quite understand the efforts to parse terminology. And it's okay to call it sectarian violence, and of course that's a key element of a civil war.
Sure.
So in many ways, it's kind of a distinction without a difference, and I'm not trying to pin you down.
No, no.
But the way the terminology is used,
yeah.
it's as if, well, it's not really that bad yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, we heard Senator Durbin the other day. What did he say? It's going from bad to... he had a clever phrase, and now I can't remember it.
Well, no, you're right. It is a... Would you say a distinction without a difference or vice versa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know... If you want to call it a civil war, you know, be my guest. I mean, if anybody does, I've used that term myself, at least in discussing this. I don't know what if there is a marked distinction, you know, semantically. And I don't know how many people have to die before you call it that. I think my only thought on this, and again, this just goes back to our shared cultural understandings, is that when you use it, you know, like to me as an American, when I think of civil war, I think of our civil war.
Mm-hmm.
Or at worst, outside of America, you know, when I think of civil wars, it's like I look around, like I said, Spain. You know, you're talking about a million dead. You know, horrible, horrific numbers of casualties. You know, armies marching on armies. Well, that's how I personally think of civil war. But that's just a personal. Like I said, if you go to the dictionary, yeah, Iraq's right up there.
Mm-hmm. John Koopman with us from the San Francisco Chronicle. Here's a lighter question for you. In one of your dispatches, you pointed out that on your first two tours, you saw the vehicle of choice was the Toyota pickup truck or what I call the Land Bruiser.
Yeah.
But those have been replaced, and still you didn't see any Ford or Chevy trucks over there.
Well, it was a bit premature. I got to Baghdad after I wrote that, and I found out that the Iraqi police in the Baghdad area are all driving, well, they're all driving Chevy Loves.
Oh, really?
But not the Chevy Love that you might remember from, when was it, the 70s? Mm-hmm. You know how it is with like American automobiles? Sometimes, like when they go overseas, they might keep the same name they used to have, or they might get a whole different name.
Sure.
It says Love, L-U-V, on it. But it looks like, you know, the modern, like, I don't know, the S10 or something like that. So I did find Chevys. I have not found a Ford. I'm told that the real hardcore Iraqi commandos drive Dodge Dakotas. So I'm thinking if Dodge wants to use that in their advertising, it'd probably be a pretty good deal for them.
But Nissan has displaced Toyota, you think?
Yeah, you know, I couldn't find a Toyota anywhere. Nissan's, you know, I think that's just like, you know, I honestly think that that those companies are going over there like, you know, they're saying stuff like, hey, you know, I can furnish you with a whole bunch of aftermarket Nissans, and you know, you can have them, and we can unload them, and we'll everybody be happy.
Well, and maybe they're getting options on future oil exports.
I wouldn't put past any of that.
We'll pick up in a moment with John Koopman from the San Francisco Chronicle, just back from Iraq. Your calls are welcome, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. If you want more information on yours truly, go to peterbcollins.com. That's where you can connect with archived programs, the link to our live stream, and I hear there's some podcasting available there, too. PeterBCollins.com is the website. 45 minutes past the hour, and this is the Peter B. Collins Show. You got it?
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 447, and here she is, the superstar from Metro, Amy Knight.
Lots to talk about this afternoon in Morgan Hill. South 101 after Cochran Road, a stalled car blocks the right lane. Still that gravel in Prunedale. South 101 at Echo Valley Road, watch out for that. Some new problems in Marina. Southbound 1 before 1st Street, a large piece of lumber in the lanes, and southbound 1 after 12th. There's a large rock in the roadway as well. A broken down car actually pulled off to the right-hand shoulder with a flat tire as it ran over the rock. Carmel Valley Village, eastbound Carmel Valley Road at San Clemente, still two trucks involved in a crash that's being cleared by Highway Patrol. The admission-free Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk is open daily for spring break now through April 23rd. Come ride the 125-foot-tall double shot. Check it out at beachboardwalk.com for special spring break discounts. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Gracias, Amy. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues to blare out of your speakers. Thank you for dialing our way. Coming up right after the top of the hour, we open up the phones for the Free Speech Zone. Looking forward to your comments. We continue now with John Koopman from the San Francisco Chronicle, just back from Iraq, where he spent 6 weeks on this current visit. And, John, by way of getting into your core focus, I'd like to read just a few lines here from the dispatch that was published in the Chronicle on March 27th from Qaim, Q-A-I-M, the town you described on the Syrian border.
Mm-hmm.
They came by the hundreds, Iraqi men, mostly young but a few graybeards, milling about the desert or squatting in the sand with their robes tucked between their legs and turbans fluttering in the breeze. It's recruiting day. These men have come to join the Iraqi army. They are Sunni Arabs from tribes that populate the vast desert region to the west along the Syrian border. No one looks very happy. Some have come from many miles away. Some have never left home before. They're joining an army that is often attacked by insurgents. Some may very well die in the coming weeks, months, years. They come out here at great personal risk, said Captain John Black of Stockton, an officer with the 1st Battalion out of 29 Palms in San Bernardino County. They can't find jobs around here, so this is the best they can do. The 1st Battalion controls this area of Anbar Province and helped with the recruiting drive, which was coordinated by the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force headquarters based in Fallujah. It's part of the U.S. military effort to get more Sunni Muslims into the Iraqi army. The idea is to make the army more representative of Iraq's ethnic makeup than the overwhelmingly Shiite force that it is now. I think in just a few paragraphs there, you describe, I think, a vivid situation and the conundrum that is faced by both the U.S. and by those they are attempting to recruit. However we describe the insurgents, those who oppose the occupation and who appear to want to continue to keep Iraq's government in an unstable mode, continue to focus on police force and military recruits for the brunt of their violent assaults. We saw brazen attacks just a few weeks ago while you were there on police stations where very organized groups would come up and essentially execute the people who were found, mostly officers, inside these police buildings.
Yeah.
So with that as backdrop, this is a terrific challenge on the part of the U.S. to identify people who are not going to use their membership in the Army or the police in a nefarious way.
Yes, absolutely. It's such a infant level right now in terms of the not so much the army. There are some army units that have been together for some time and they're starting to gel a little bit. But what's surprising to me is that despite all that, you know, they are still able to recruit Muslims, to recruit Iraqis to go and to serve in these units, in these army and police units. And there are a lot of reasons for that. A very strong reason, and I had it in that story, is money.
Yeah.
You can make, I think, you know, your standard soldier, private in the Iraqi army, makes something like $300-$400 a month, which is good money in Iraq. And if you're an officer, obviously even more. But it's fraught with difficulties. You know, well, let me back up. But it's also interesting that I don't think I ever talked to any one of these guys and asked them, you know, why they wanted to be there without them also saying that they wanted to serve their country. Mm-hmm. And to that effect, you know, they're really, I don't think in many ways they're not all that different from an American soldier or Marine. You know, you ask one of them why they joined, or initially, you know, some guys are just like, yeah, I wanted to serve my country. But some guys said, well, I wanted to get money for college. I wanted to see the world. I wanted to do a lot of things. It's not always about patriotism. So you get some of that, you get these guys who come at great personal risk to do it. And a lot of it's just their faith. You know, there's something called Inshallah. Inshallah means God willing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you talk to a lot of Iraqis about, you know, the Americans sort of forced them to wear body armor and helmets and stuff like that. And a lot of times you'll be, you know, you'll be with an American, you know, soldier, and he'll see an Iraqi without his helmet on. He'll go and say, hey, you got to put your helmet on. You know, it's a safety issue. You could get killed. But the Iraqis are sort of like, yeah, well, Inshallah, I won't. You know, same thing with a roadside bomb, you know, it's unexploded. The Americans call for the explosive ordnance disposal people to come and take care of it. And the Iraqis just go up there and start sniffing wires. And they say, well, why are you sniffing wires? You could set this thing off. And it's like, well, Inshallah, you know, if God wants me to die, he'll kill me. And if he doesn't, he won't.
Wow. That's incredible in many respects, given the circumstances there. John Koopman, I just got an email here that says that Al Jafri is going to give up as prime minister. He's been hanging in there as various people, including President Bush, have advised him that he's in an untenable position. So he apparently has accepted that. Do you think this is going to make it any easier for a government to form and for the two key factions, the Sunnis and the Shiites, in the government to find ways to work together?
Well, a couple of thoughts on that. One is that in talking to some of the people who are there in Baghdad who really understand the ins and outs of Iraqi politics and politicians, the bad news is that nobody really seemed to have an idea for a good successor to Al-Jafri. That's not a good thing. I mean, he might not have been the best guy for the job, but, you know, you need somebody who can step up and be a... who could form a government.
Mm-hmm. And a unity or a unifying government.
Yes, exactly. And the thing is, but on the other hand, you know, he was the logjam. He essentially was the logjam, and primarily because he was too close to Muqtada al-Sadr and the Mahdi army, you know, that was too much of a thorn in people's sides. So the thought among people who watch this pretty carefully is that, yeah, Al-Jafri was not going to make it. Somebody needs to step up, and they need to do it soon because a lot of the violence, not really so much the insurgency, because that's the kind of thing that's always going to get, you know, focused on the American presence. But a lot of the sectarian violence is really has come about because of the lack of an ability to form a government. And what I mean by that is that, you know, some of the sectarian violence is like, I'm a Sunni, I hate those damn Shias, I'm going to go kill one. But some of it is also about jockeying for power. And the Sunnis understand that, you know, they're the minority in the country, and they were the ones who ran roughshod over the Shias, you know, in the Saddam time. And so, you know, at first they didn't want to take part in the government. Well, now they do. But now, you know, now, I mean, there's a lot of thought that, you know, a lot of this violence is them jockeying for position, trying to get as much power as they can before the government is formed. Because once the government is formed, if there is a unity government, then you're going to have a minister of the interior who's going to run the police. You're going to have a minister of the defense who's going to run the army. And those guys are going to be working at the behest of a prime minister who is of a government that is essentially unified. And so once that happens, a lot of the sectarian violence, I have no way of knowing whether this will happen for sure or not, but the idea is that a lot of this stuff will fade away because the jockeying for position will have been over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Final question relates to the administration's media initiative starting last December, where Bush repeatedly described his strategy for victory with very little definition to it. In your conversation with troops, the boots on the ground in Iraq, do they believe that they are pursuing a strategy that will lead to victory?
Well, I think that across the board, the thought from among the troops is that this is a conflict that can be resolved. You have a hard time finding anybody who just throws up his hands and says, you know, it's a total mess, we should just leave. Which is surprising to me, because 3 years into it, and considering all the violence and continuing violence and continuing bloodshed, personally, if I were there, I'd be a little down on it. People think
the Zoghbi poll showed that over 70% of them thought they'd be home by Christmas and should be.
Yeah, I don't know the methodology for that. I frankly, I didn't meet many people who shared that. That opinion. Well, I don't, I mean, but that's, you know, a poll is done in private. So what, you know, if people are, I don't know if people are saying that because they want to be home or because they think that they just ought to be home. The people I talked to were pretty much of the mind that, well, regardless of whether they wanted to go home, the idea was that, you know, Iraq is unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge, I would almost phrase it as a desperation in the eyes of a lot of troops over there, because they don't want to be the next Vietnam vets.
Yeah.
What they want is they want to be able to, and it's a time game now, because mm-hmm. they understand that you know all they know they have left is the Bush administration.
And our time is up, John Koopman. Thanks for joining us. Okay, now you can go back to the sex beat.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for giving us the information. I appreciate you joining us.
Great talking to you, Peter.
Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. Your calls are welcome. Dial me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
The makeup of families in our communities are diverse, and the attitudes of adults are key in helping children feel comfortable with different kinds of families. Join Nurse Rona on Sunday to discuss the experience of children and parents in lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender families, both at home and at school.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Healthcare, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Don't give up the fight.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. President Bush welcomed China's President Hu Jintao to the White House today, and afterwards the two sat down to discuss a long list of issues. Here's CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod.
Mr. Bush and Mr. Hu had a lot to go over in their 3 hours together. Human rights, Taiwan, and a huge trade imbalance. But all took a back seat to nuclear threats, Iran and North Korea.
China's an important voice in international affairs.
China's a permanent member of the UN Security Council. That means it can veto any U.S. plans for sanctions on Iran for its nuclear ambitions. One reason China's hesitant to come down too hard is 13% of its oil comes from Iran. And China needs to keep the flow uninterrupted to feed its booming economy.
China's energy use second only to the U.S. New government statistics out today show traffic deaths have reached a 15-year high.
There are a lot of efforts out there to try and stem this tide, but the numbers are keep going up, and this is very disturbing.
Judy Stone of Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety. The government report says drunk driving deaths are higher, and light truck fatalities, which include minivans and SUVs, are up more than 4%. Another study claims distracted drivers are responsible for more and more collisions. Here's CBS News correspondent Bob Orr.
A new government-funded study from Virginia Tech using cameras to track more than 200 drivers reveals that 8 out of every 10 crashes involve drivers who are drowsy or not paying attention. Increasingly, states are cracking down on cell phones, but safety officials say it's very tough to outlaw distractions or regulate driver behavior.
The Homeland Security Secretary said today the government plans to continue its crackdown on businesses hiring illegal immigrants. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that story.
In the midst of nationwide marches in support of illegal immigrants comes a crackdown against a company that allegedly built its business around them. In a series of raids against IFCO Systems, a crate and pallet maker, 1,187 illegal aliens and 7 managers have been arrested.
The largest single worksite enforcement operation against the company in American history.
Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff denies this is a reaction to the pro-immigrant rally, saying these raids have been planned for more than a year. He promises more high-profile actions against other companies. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A new survey finds Mexicans believe most of the reason for Americans opposing illegal immigration in this country is racism, and 70% of those surveyed say jobs is why most of their countrymen head to the U.S. Former Enron CEO Jeff Skilling finished his testimony. testimony today in his fraud trial. He and Enron founder Ken Lay standing trial in Houston on charges they deceived investors and employees before the company's collapse. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished 64 points higher and the Nasdaq Composite Index was off by 8. This is CBS News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the customer is always right, even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Book your next flight or vacation package on Priceline, and you could win one of five ultimate upgrades. A luxurious trip for you and your friends in your own private jet provided by One Sky Network, plus limo service and $5,000 in cash. Hurry, it's only for a limited time and only on Priceline. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends May 8th. For full details, visit Priceline.com.
There were no classes today at Columbine High School. It was the seventh anniversary of the shooting spree there that left 12 students and a teacher dead. There were no public remembrances either, but as CBS News correspondent Lee Frank reports, the anniversary is being used by some to help the community heal.
In the past 7 years, there's been lots of talk about building a permanent memorial in the park next to the school. Now fundraising efforts dominate this year's anniversary events. About $500,000 is still needed for a memorial which Columbine families hope will inspire thoughts of remembrance, reflection, and healing.
In Kansas today, five teenage boys were arrested, charged with plotting a similar massacre at their school. A jury in Texas has begun deliberations into whether Merck's drug Vioxx is responsible for the heart attack of a 71-year-old man. What causes chronic fatigue syndrome? It may be in your genes. Researchers now say that combined with stress can bring on the condition, which affects about 1 million Americans. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Diane Mintz is a realtor. She helps people buy and sell real estate. But those aren't the only people Diane helps.
Every year I send inner city children to camp.
She knows that something that the kids may learn from camp may change their life completely.
The Realtor Code of Ethics is about treating people fairly and honestly. I make a promise to conduct business fairly, and I've also made a promise to these kids.
Across the country, realtors like Diane Mintz are making a difference in their communities and setting examples for others to do the same. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
If you take pain relievers like Advil, Aleve, and Celebrex, you're taking an NSAID. And NSAIDs all work in a similar way. But Tylenol is different. Because Tylenol is not an NSAID. To learn more about how Tylenol is different, talk to your doctor and visit Tylenol.com. Stop. Think. Tylenol.com. Take only as directed.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. The way we do it is we give you the phone number, and you call in, and James picks up the phone. And assuming that you're coherent and at least a little friendly, he'll put you on hold and then put you on the list to be put on the air. You will not be screened for the nature of your comment or the subject you choose to talk about. But be honest with him if he asks you, just so we have an idea of what's coming up. It's the Free Speech Zone, and all my lines are open right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA for our flagship station in Monterey. If you're listening on KGOE in Eureka, or you're one of our internet listeners, you're invited to call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You got it? 888-579-2540. And if you're one of our new listeners in Phoenix, Arizona, on Progressive KPHX 1480, you're invited to call us between 5 and 6 p.m. Pacific time every weekday. That's when the Free Speech Zone is available. And you don't have to be tuned in to call in. We'd love to hear your comments. And for the very first listener who calls us from Phoenix anytime in the coming days, you will earn yourself a coveted limited edition Peter B. Collins picture postcard from one of the radio stations that fired me. And I'll sign it and mail it to you personally. So if that's an incentive, and I hope it is, we want to hear from you in Phoenix at 1-888-579-2540. A couple of items that I want to throw into the mix here, and then we'll take your calls and see what you're thinking about. We had great conversation today earlier with Faz Shakir about the visit of China's leader, President Hu, in Washington today. We talked with Ryan Singel from Wired News about the NSA Intercept program and how, from what we pieced together, there's at least one location in San Francisco at the AT&T Switch Center where they have a secret room, where it is believed by a former employee that the email intercepts take place. We also heard some fascinating comments from John Koopman of the San Francisco Chronicle, who's just back from Iraq. That occurred in the past hour. So any of those issues are fodder for our discussion here, and let me add a couple more. According to Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter who joins us on this show every Tuesday, and you can read this for yourself at truthout.org today, Karl Rove is on the verge of being indicted. Now, this is based on anonymous sources inside the Fitzgerald prosecution operation, but Leopold tells us the grand jury session in federal court on Wednesday of this week, sources close to the case say, was the first time this year that Fitzgerald told his grand jurors that he would soon present them with a list of criminal charges that he intends to file against Rove in hopes that the grand jury will return a multi-count indictment against Karl Rove. And what's interesting is Jason Leopold does not give up. I know he has placed numerous calls to Robert Luskin, who is Rove's attorney. He got through to him, and he quotes him as saying, "Mr. Rove is still a subject of the investigation." Now, that is an interesting admission from the attorney because, as Leopold points out in a previous interview, Luskin asserted that Rove would not be indicted by Fitzgerald. He was unwilling to make that prediction again on Wednesday. Instead, he answered, "Mr. Fitzgerald hasn't made any decision on the charges, and I can't speculate what the outcome will be. Mr. Rove has cooperated completely with the investigation." And the article goes on to say, Luskin would not discuss the substance of his most recent communication with Fitzgerald, nor would he say whether Rove would testify against Scooter Libby. Luskin wouldn't comment on whether the investigation of Rove continues to center on alleged misleading statements to which Rove testified regarding a July 2003 conversation he had about Valerie Wilson with Time magazine reporter Matthew Cooper. And Luskin said that Rove simply forgot about his conversation with Cooper when he testified before the grand jury because, he has so much on his mind. So that's a very interesting development for those of us who have been watching those proceedings carefully. Another item you might want to comment on, Carl Bernstein has published a column in Vanity Fair, and he is calling for a bipartisan investigation of the Bush presidency. And he is essentially calling on Republicans to not only take the high road, but also to save their butts come this November. Here's an excerpt. And he starts off by quoting John Dean, who served in the Nixon administration, who published a book in 2004 called Worse Than Watergate. Bernstein, "Worse than Watergate? High crimes and misdemeanors justifying the impeachment of George W. Bush as increasing numbers of Democrats in Washington hope, and sotto voce, increasing numbers of Republicans, including some of the president's top lieutenants, now fear? Leaders of both parties are acutely aware of the vehemence of anti-Bush sentiment in the country, expressed especially in the increasing number of Americans, nearing 50%, who say they would favor impeachment if the president were proved to have deliberately lied to justify going to war in Iraq." How refreshing. Coming from one half of the Washington Post's Watergate duo, Carl Bernstein is still in touch with reality. Bob Woodward is embedded in the Bush administration. And one more item, then we'll go to your calls. As you may know, May 1st has been designated by some Latino American leaders as a day for the Great American Boycott of 2006. And I find this very interesting, and I'd like to hear, particularly from any Latino listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show, about your thoughts of participating in a boycott on May 1st. Now, I'm one of those people who's seen the powerful documentary, A Day Without a Mexican, And from my perspective, this appears to be an effort to demonstrate to the Anglos in America just how critical Latinos are to our daily lives. And on that level, I support the message that these people want to send. What is interesting is that there is division in the Hispanic communities about whether this is a good idea or not. After all, dozens of people were fired after the impromptu demonstrations in March, and many students skipped school, and while I don't think there were serious repercussions for them, there is concern that authorities may crack down if another attempt is made at a boycott and if it extends to the schoolroom. And there's a powerful movie that's been screened heavily on HBO over the last few weeks called Walk Out, which I think is providing some inspiration to students who feel that this is a kind of statement that they want to make. So I'd like your thoughts, Anglo or Latino, on whether or not this May 1st Great American Boycott of 2006 is a good idea. I'm fairly open-minded about it, but I have to say I lean toward the interests of those who are planning to protest. Ben and Salinas, you're up first here. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Yes, sir, and I am a locally born and raised here in Salinas, a Latino, and I believe in the pride of my ancestors. However, we must obey the laws if we're to live in a civil society, but I want to draw a cross line here. If the American working people, the me and yous and the beer-belly Joes that are down there at the border, the racists, if they would get together and get in the streets with the vigor and the love for their country and their families that those young immigrants are showing when they hit the streets in such numbers, if the general public had the guts to pull off that kind of action in the American home, we wouldn't be paying $3 looking at $4 for gas. Because the voices that are controlling us, money is what's motivating them. But I wanted to call to draw a little closer focus on a couple of things in the news. First of all...
Okay, but first, just to the point,
yes, okay.
Will you be skipping work on May 1st?
No, sir.
Okay.
No,
do you want to find another way to express that?
My work schedule is somewhat like yours. Mm-hmm. I don't work in the...
9 to 5.
I don't exist in the 9 to 5 range. I'm more in the weekend entertainer mode, which you could say.
I see.
I don't just choose not to be specific at this time. However,
that's right.
To draw two focuses that I think are very important. In the news, you know how I'm following this bird flu pandemic that they're trying to create the crossover thing so they can create the panic they need to say they can sell, you know, be afraid, be very afraid. Well, the details of FEMA came out with what they intend to do, and this will take place around the fall, which they call flu season, is shelter in place, curfews, and prohibited public gathering. Can you say martial law?
Mm.
Okay, now.
Yeah. And they would do it to protect the American people.
Oh, we're doing it. It's my job to protect you against the fear of the end. Hey, the fear resides in the White House. That's with, and they're losing power. And these people will do anything vis-a-vis what I'm going to say now. This big explosion they want to have on the 2nd of May in 90 miles out of Las Vegas, exploding 700 tons of explosive into the air. Now, that creates the amount of pollution that how many millions of cars and industry and all this EPA crap where they're willing to take your car, shut your business down, and in one explosion, they're going to put all that crap into the air. You people in Phoenix, how do you feel about that stuff being put in your air? And also, the more serious side, and I've heard physicists talk on this, the test zone in Nevada there is on where two tectonic plates meet, and likewise in Iran, two tectonic plates meet there. Now, something that has the megatonnage could possibly fracture the Earth to what degree, we don't know. Should we be messing? We know earthquakes cause when two opposing tectonic plates rubbing against each other, right, slip under the massive pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should we really be putting these kind of bombs on there and creating that kind of pressure without knowing what catastrophe we could create here on our home turf? And so
only,
they could be-
only if we are subscribers to the Left Behind series, and we believe that will hasten the arrival of Judgment Day. Thank you, Ben.
Yes, sir.
I want to open up the lines for the rest of you. It's the free speech zone for the remainder of this hour, so get on the line now and tell me your thoughts. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540 on the Peter B. Collins Show.
doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic. 521 now, and here's Amy Knight, Metro Traffic.
Lots to talk about. Highway 152 at Fifel Road. Reports of a broken down big rig in the roadway. Also, good news for Salinas. That earlier accident north of 101 after Airport Boulevard has been cleared. In Carmel, Highway 1 at San Remo Road, looks like a broken down car partially blocking Highway 1, and still an accident in the clearing stages, eastbound Carmel Valley Road at San Clemente. Looks like Highway Patrol just waiting for tow trucks to arrive. Otherwise, no problems to report on Highway 1 through Moss Landing, 156 checks in clear through Prunedale. This report brought to you by Caltrans and the Office of Traffic Safety. Turn your lights on while driving through a roadway work zone, day or night. It might just save your life. And remember to slow for the cone zone. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We love our guys in orange.
Mm-hmm.
22 minutes past the hour. We're in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got a line or two available. Central Coast, 899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. Now, if you've been following it at the Moussaoui trial, this guy pleaded guilty a year ago to being the 20th hijacker. And then he took the stand in the penalty phase of the trial and contradicted himself in many respects. But one of the things he said was that he was supposed to team up with Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, and attack the White House. And I found that totally...
You're unbelievable.
Yeah, like totally unbelievable, man. And they did not let Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, come into the courtroom and testify. But they presented a statement from Richard Reed today. We're not sure what kind of shoes he was wearing when he issued the statement. But he said that he and Moussaoui never worked together on a terrorist plot. And he said he was not aware of the 9/11 plan and was never asked to work with Moussaoui. And this unbelievable testimony, at least some part of the unbelievable testimony, is being used by our government prosecutors to try to establish that Moussaoui deserves the death penalty. And I find it offensive and un-American, the manner in which they are contorting the legal process simply to win a conviction that permits them to execute the guy, which is, by the way, what he's hoping for. He wants to be martyred. And this would provide that avenue. Peter B. in Monterey, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Peter. Go right ahead.
I was calling to tell you how much better I'm going to be sleeping at night. Now that I know our pallet production has finally been secured by Michael Chertoff and Homeland Security. Phew!
You were worried about that, huh?
Oh, I'm telling you, here I thought that Homeland Security was really only interested in tapping our phones, and now I find out they're really interested in pallet protection.
Well, let's face it, it's fundamental. Pallets are fundamental. And, Peter, you're absolutely outing yourself as a guy who's never driven a forklift, and I want to tell you that I'm proud of my blue-collar experience. And I have driven a forklift, and I know just how important pallets are. I want is pallets that are made by Americans, not by some undocumented aliens.
I'm hoping we can now get some congressional action to get these pallets stamped as being certified by Homeland Security as made by 100% union workers, Peter, union workers.
Right. Well, let me turn the tables on you, Peter.
Oh, no.
Over the weekend, I went to a party, and I was hanging out with my buddy Paul. Paul has worked on the docks in Oakland for over 30 years. In fact, he told me on Saturday that he has 106 days remaining until he retires. And Paul is a crusty guy who, will loosen an F-bomb faster than you can even think about it. But he told me a powerful story. He said that 3 weeks ago, a ship left the port of Oakland and that the containers on that ship had not been inspected, but they had passed through a fancy sniffer and metal detector bomb detecting device. And he said 2 weeks later, that ship, which had not docked at any other port, exploded in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Oh. A third of the crew was killed, and they still are trying to figure out what was the cause of it. But he speculates that there were containers that left Oakland with some sort of explosive devices, and they were not detected by our security system. And this is just another indicator of how vulnerable we are, because we are hunkered down in a bunker mentality, right? And we're thinking, oh, they want to hit us on our own soil. So what's the obvious vulnerability? Hey, get something outbound from the U.S. and you can wreak havoc at its destination. Now, perhaps this explosive device detonated before it was supposed to, in the middle of the Indian Ocean instead of at the destination port of that ship.
Oh, well, so many irons in the fire, Peter, and so little time to mind the fire itself. So what do we do with this, Peter? Do we step up ourselves and become vigilant, or do we, again, relinquish our freedoms to homeland incompetence? That's my question.
Are those the only two choices?
No, it's gray. You know that, Peter. I was just hoping that black and white might get me a soundbite on air. Peter, I'm going to turn it over to smarter people than myself. Like, hopefully Hal will call in. He's got the guy. He's the guy with the answers.
I always enjoy it when you call, Peter. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye now.
Chris in Salinas, you're next on the PBC show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Peter, I just I have a problem with this May 1st thing, and I think that personally – if they want to march, they can march all the way back to Mexico.
Really? Gee, Chris, your compassion is just oozing out all over the
place. Well, I don't see how it affects me. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I mow my own lawn, and if I didn't, I'd hire a citizen.
Well, I really don't have that sentiment. Number one, many of the people who will be taking the day off to protest are American citizens. And for you
so
to suggest that they should...
So there are American citizens who agree with illegal immigration. I mean,
Wait a minute. There are a lot of issues on the table related to immigration that aren't, you know, black and white, legal, illegal. So I think you're jumping to a number of conclusions there, Chris. Why don't you hold through the break and we'll talk about this a little bit more, okay? 1-888-579-2540 is my number. I'd like to hear from you. There's another 30 minutes remaining in the Free Speech Zone today here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ball game. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show from the left coast. It's rush hour here on the west coast. You all drive carefully now. Lines are open in the free speech zone, 888-579-2540. We are in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject from any point of view. Again, 888-579-2540. We return to Chris in Salinas. And, Chris, I have to say I've talked with you before, and I'm a little surprised at the kind of hostile attitude that you're expressing. What's behind it?
I don't think that's hostile. I mean, I'm a pretty liberal person, and my compassion goes out to the squeezed-out middle-class citizens of this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you said yourself that you drove a forklift. You know, you used to be able to make a good, decent living working in a warehouse,
And
driving a forklift, and you can't do it anymore.
And you're going to scapegoat the people who are here legally or illegally?
No, we've talked before, and we got to go after the employers, just like this. The one gentleman before was making a mockery of the pallet deal. I mean, that's one step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and I don't have a problem with that. I think that employers should be sanctioned, and the law is there and should be enforced. And I believe that the Bush administration has significantly reduced enforcement of those laws, and it is part of the current problem. But, Chris, for you to suggest that people who want to express themselves and their rights to free speech and protest, that you think they ought to march all the way back to Mexico, I'm sorry, I take that as a hateful remark.
Well, I don't, but if you want to be a patriotic citizen, then they should march over to the INS or wherever you go to become a citizen. If they want to be citizens and they want to protest, that's fine with me. But if you're an illegal alien, you're an illegal immigrant, and you want to protest to stay in this country, too bad. And that's not hateful. That's just what's not illegal about illegal?
Well, I think you're oversimplifying the issue, and you're playing into the hands of Tom Tancredo and those on the far right who are trying to, drive a wedge between various groups of workers in this country. And I would make the point, Chris, that every worker in America is under siege, and General Motors is just one big company that is in the process of getting rid of every single manufacturing employee they have so they can replace them with younger people who earn less and don't get the benefit package that's currently offered to GM employees. And Ford's going to be next, and then what we're doing is a race to the bottom. And you're playing in to the strategy of the far right to divide the working class in this country. And I don't think you see it.
Well, I guess I don't, but I disagree with you. I just disagree with you because I see it all around me where the jobs are being lost to these illegal immigrants. And it's not just Hispanics, you know. I mean, there's like you say, people come over here on visas and they stay, and that's from all over the country. But
on the West Coast right now, there are thousands of Irish who are from my homeland who are here on tourist visas or other gambits that they use to get into this country. So when you take a look at a protest about immigration and you reduce it to people from Mexico, then you are falling into stereotypical thinking and the kind of wedge-driven hate thought and hate speech that is exactly what the right wing wants. Think about it, Chris.
Well, I'll think about it.
I hope you will. Easy. Thank you very much.
Have a
good to
one.
Hear from you. Donna in Big Sur, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Donna.
Hey, I just wanted to address the saber rattling that's being expressed towards Iran by the Bush administration currently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today I picked up the San Francisco Chronicle, And the headline on the front page said war costs approach $10 billion a month.
Isn't that amazing?
In Iraq.
Yeah.
So coming from an accounting background, if I was on the Finance and Budget Committee, I would ask this administration, where are you going to get the funding for a preemptive strike on another country, which is actually even more apt at battling us than Iraq was?
Well, you're touching on one of the key points here. Pardon me. I agree that the way the supporters, the proponents of this next round of misguided military action make it seem like we could go in with cruise missiles and aerial assaults and take out these facilities, and there would be absolutely no repercussions to the United States or to our ally Israel. And that is just so ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Well, I just wanted to bring that up and see what you had to say about it. I have to agree with Tony Blair's right-hand man there, Jack Straw, when he said it's absolutely nuts.
It is.
That's my comment for today.
And it's nuts squared when you hear that planners at the Pentagon have begged the White House to remove the nuclear option from the potentials that are on the table. And Bush and Cheney flatly refuse.
Absolutely.
That is nuclear provocation of a degree that we haven't seen in a long, long time. And we used to think, oh, that's what Khrushchev might do.
Exactly. It's rather overwhelming. Well, thank you, Peter.
Good to have your call today. Now
All right.
Albert in Salinas. Hello, Albert. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Hey, I was just flipping through the stations, and I just happened to listen right when Chris was saying that every Mexican or whoever should march back to Mexico is one of the most ignorant things I've ever heard, you know, and I just needed to call and just say that.
Well,
you know,
we're
not Hispanic, we're Mexican, and that's who this whole thing is targeting. It's not targeting the Irish, we're talking about Mexicans, and that's the bottom line.
Well, Albert, let's bring it down just a notch, and do me a favor and imagine that you're talking to Chris right now. And what would you try to explain to Chris to get him to rethink his position?
Chris needs to understand, and this is my belief, that they're trying to criminalize all these good, hardworking people. Lock them up, throw away the key, and that's how they're going to control us. But it's not going to happen, and it's not ever going to happen.
Well, I also think that what I told him, and I'd like to hear your reaction, is I of course, believe it's true because I said it. But I think that this is a divide-and-conquer strategy that is being used, number one, to build a nice little brush fire that distracts people from the mess in Iraq.
It's the
replacement for gay marriage that they used in 2004. And the intention here is, I don't think the Republicans in the Senate care whether they pass a bill this year or not. They have succeeded in energizing their base in, you know, building fear among white Americans who turn out to vote largely for Republicans, the group I'm thinking of. And, you know, we have created this conversation that is based on false assumptions and stereotypes.
Yeah.
And it is feeding a kind of cycle of hate in this country that only benefits the people at the top.
You know, and I just think, just like the Japanese, when they attacked us, they said they woke up a sleeping giant. I think that's what they've done right now. They've woken up
Albert,
a sleeping giant.
What are you going to do on May 1st?
I'm closing my businesses, and just I'm supporting it. My kids, if they have to walk out of school, then they're going to walk out of school. And I don't care what anybody else says. We have to make a stand, and now's the time.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned businesses. You want to tell us, do you have a number of employees?
Yeah.
And are you giving them the day off as a paid day, or they're taking it as a personal day?
Well, everybody who works for us is Mexican, so I don't think they're going to take any money to protest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and support this. This is, you know, if Cesar Chavez was alive, I mean, we'd have the leaders that we need right now. We don't. We really don't. Either a fear, or I don't know why nobody's stepping up to it. But if you can hear me out there, you need to. So somebody needs to take a stand for the Mexican people. The legals, even the legals. So that's what basically is happening. It's like we're getting slapped in the face for being Mexican-American and having our roots that are right over that border. And that's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, and you could hear, and I'm making some inferences here, but I've talked with Chris on many occasions. I met him a couple of times. He's a nice guy. He's a labor activist. And his issue is that he feels that the American middle class is being destroyed because our jobs are being outsourced overseas and that there has been an influx of lower-paid, low-wage workers, some of whom, frankly, are illegal.
Okay, but, where does Chris work?
I don't know. I don't know
the
answer.
Well, what does Chris do for a living, you know, because he ain't out there picking lettuce?
I don't remember exactly. He's a member.
I wouldn't do that job. I wouldn't do that job. I'm Mexican. I wouldn't go pick no lettuce. you get up at 3:30 in the morning, 4:00 in the morning, and work all day. Heck no! I'm living the American dream. I'm not going to do that. You know.
All right, Albert.
I don't think Chris would either.
I really appreciate your call today. And can I ask you to spread the word in on your side of the lettuce curtain? And I would like to hear more voices like yours on our program.
Thank you.
All right. Good to hear from you today. Shannon in Arcata, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, Shannon.
I was just wanting to call. I got a little irritated with that guy, Chris, myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit frustrated because, for one thing, I really feel like, you know, the Mexicans really do the work. They do. And a lot of people aren't having a lot of good employment. The jobs are being taken away, for one, which you pointed out. And, you know, I'd like for you to speak more on that, you know, at some point, NAFTA and CAFTA and the fact that our government is taking jobs away from us. And I think that that's a big part of the problem. And then, you know, as far as what the solution is, I don't know. But I really support the walkout and... I'm behind it. That's all.
Well, thank you, Shannon. I don't have a simple solution either. I have mused on the program about ideas to lift the wages of every working American so that we could prevent the kind of exploitation of low-wage workers and illegals in different segments of our economy. I do believe that the U.S. has the right to secure its borders, and we should do a better job of that. I want to know who's in the country, legal or illegal, because I want to be able, A, for hardworking people who don't have citizenship papers to get a driver's license of some sort so that when they crash into me on the road that I have some recourse and they have insurance. So they're very practical issues that I think we need to approach. And these are not addressed by the hot rhetoric in Washington, which, as I said, is intended to drive a political result, not a, you know, a real honest resolution to a complex and thorny set of issues.
That's the truth.
All right. Thanks for your call today.
Thank you.
Time for more calls, and you could be next. I'd like to hear from you, and particularly if you are a Latino who's decided what you're going to do on May 1st, tell us about it. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll free from anywhere else, 1-888-579-2540. You can drop into my website, peterbcollins.com. And that's where you can send me an email, too. 46 minutes past the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m.
treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters, this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. My topic is how to make your life more beautiful. This zesty show is about why your living space is so important. You'll want to hear what our guests have to say. Ron Morgan, based in Oakland, is one of the most sought-after and well-recognized floral designers in the United States. And Rochelle Goodfriend is founder and owner of Spirited Spaces Design Consultants. The conversation will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Do you know how colors affect you in every way? What about the current trend in TV home makeovers? How can you make the best use of professional help? Keep listening and we'll keep talking about things that matter. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. How to make your life more beautiful, this Saturday at 3.
KRXA 540 takes another look at your traffic situation. It's 549. Here's Amy Knight.
Idlewild Drive at 17, a dump truck blocking one of the lanes. And South 17 and Highway 1, a two-car crash with one of the vehicles that struck the hillside. Highway Patrol is on the way. Down in Carmel, Highway 1 at San Remo, it looks like a broken-down car partially blocking the lanes. And in Soledad, southbound 101 after Arroyo Seco, several boxes in the lane, so drive with caution. And this report brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that thousands of termites could be attacking your home and you don't even see them until the damage is done? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN and get the free inspection today. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
That's me sleeping through the termite infestation.
That's what I thought.
Thanks, Amy.
See you tomorrow.
You are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Here's a tune for Chris and Salinas. It was originally written by Woody Guthrie. Yes, this land was made for you and me. No mention of citizenship there. That's Everclear, dusting off the old Woody Guthrie tune. Back to your phone calls, but first, acknowledging an email from Julie, JB, she signs herself, and she sent me a link to some information about 9/11, what really occurred, and I'll take a look at that, Julie. And she writes, the alleged Flight 93 landing in Cleveland is a head-scratcher, especially considering the long mourning relatives. I look forward to more on this and to the ghost of a chance that it will all come out. Well, Julie, I don't think it'll ever all come out, but we're going to work on it. Tomorrow, in our first hour, the producer of the film Loose Change 9/11 will be with us. Dylan is his name. And it's going to be a powerful hour. So that's our first hour tomorrow on the program, and I hope you can join us then. Xavier in Santa Cruz, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, it seems like human beings have the ability to, like, get accustomed to anything that comes down the line as far as hardship is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, Recently, I'm spending a lot more time hanging out with more conservative people who tend to bash immigrants a lot, and I'm having to kind of get into this discussion a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'm finding is that it's a cultural thing, and it has to do with families. I know that a lot of times a white guy who's trying to raise a family, he won't long last in a relationship with a wife who expects a full house all to themselves and a big SUV, that sort of thing. So we're basically, we're trying to operate in different realms here. And if there's a great movie called Meituan, I don't know if you're familiar with it, about coal mining and by John Sayles.
No, I haven't seen it.
Excellent movie. Check it out. Okay. One of the lines in there, there's this guy who's an IWW, Industrial Workers of the World activist, organizer, who comes into town, this small coal mining town, and there's the Scots-Irish go on strike, and then they bring in the Italians and the Polish, and then they go on strike, and then they bring in the African-Americans. And this big black guy, I can't remember his name, he's a great actor, though, and he comes in and he says, you know, I'm willing to join the union and work pound for pound with you. So what we got to do is get a situation where these people are all on the same page and asking the same things so we don't get bid down to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, and we really are at a pivotal point. And, you know, personally, I've been seeing this since the 1990s. And while Clinton presided over an economic expansion that was unprecedented, the underpinnings were causes of great concern. All through the 1990s, people with good, high-paying jobs that had complete benefit packages lost those jobs as corporations downsized and converted many positions to independent contractors, seasonal work, or outsourced either to independent firms in the U.S. or even offshore. And that conversion of the workforce in this country has now reached the dramatic point that I described with General Motors a couple of minutes ago. And this is the point where we need to stand and fight. And one of the critical elements is the cost of health care. You compare General Motors to Toyota, and you can see that GM has a $1,500 per car allocation just to pay the health care for its workers. And instead of, you know, watching GM unload all these workers, I'd like to see, and instead of any kind of a government bailout of Detroit automakers, I'd like to see a single-payer national health care plan that could relieve every employer of that obligation, make it a part of our tax base. And that's going to be labeled socialism by the far right. But it is the fairest way for a rich nation like ours, A, to give people the health care rights that they deserve, and B, to prevent us from saddling our employers with expenses that cause them to become uncompetitive with the rest of the world. And we've got to stand and fight for this, because if we don't, we are on our way to third world status. And the kind of anger that Chris feels will simply multiply, and we're going to have more serious problems on our hands.
Yeah, they're not the enemy.
No, I agree. We're in this together, and I think people like Chris, I hope they will hear that. Thanks
for
joining me.
Check out that movie, Meituan.
Okay, I'll check it out. Dave in Pinnacles, you're next. Go right ahead, Dave.
All right, Peter, I'd just like to say that regardless of what we do here, if the corruption isn't halted in Mexico, it's just going to continue. We talk about solutions. We talk about a solution in 1986 where we gave, 2 million people amnesty. Then, 15 years later, now we're talking about 20. What's going to be in another 20 or another 30 years? If Mexico is not liberated and the crooks are brought to justice, and that country is brought up to our standards, then there's no hope for us, because we're going to end up exactly the way they are. That's how I feel. You know, Peter, the American people were promised when we went out into the world 30 years ago and said, hey, we want to increase trade with other nations, and we want goods and services to come to our country, and we want that. We were promised that the rest of the world, the third world, they were going to come up to our standards.
Right, we were going to float all boats. I understand your point. And I also agree, objectively, that the government of Mexico is problematic. I'm not prepared to invade Iran, and I'm also not prepared to invade Mexico.
We don't need to invade it.
I got to jump to Jake now. Got time for one more call. Hello, Jake. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
I'm okay.
So did you catch the Fox News poll that came out today? George W. Bush, according to Fox, has a 33% approval rating. And as we all remember, about a month ago, CBS came out with a 34% approval rating, and all the Fox talking heads just screamed and said, you can't trust CBS. Mm-hmm. Of course, now their own network says it's 33%. And I actually heard Sean Hannity today, that racist hate merchant, and he basically had a nervous breakdown on his show and got angrier and angrier as the show went on, because all the liberals who were calling in were just wiping the floor with Hannity. It was hilarious.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll break down and I'll defeat the V-chip and watch a little Fox News tonight just so I can enjoy and savor that moment. But you're the first to tell me about this, and it is interesting, because you would imagine if Fox News had a poll like that and they didn't like the outcome, they wouldn't report on it. They'd just bury it.
No, yeah, they tried to not talk about it, but what happened was liberals were calling up and, you know, pointing out that Bush has a 33% approval rating according to Fox. How can you avoid that one?
I'm sure they switched immediately to the latest on Cynthia McKinney.
You're right. Actually, that idiot Hannity tried that one, man. You know, give it up. Cynthia McKinney, you know, she's a great congresswoman. Just because some cop tried to harass her, you know, we shouldn't hold that against her as far as I'm concerned.
Right, and even if she lost her temper, it's not a national story. It was
not
simply overplayed to distract us. Jake, thanks a lot, and I know you'll be listening tomorrow at 3 when Dylan will be here with Loose Change 9/11. If people want to do some homework, loosechange911.com. You can download and look at it before we talk tomorrow. Thank you, Jake.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
PeterBCollins.com.
You already know that Joe Romby's serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Romby's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Romby's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. So join us this Saturday night, 6 to 7, on Reality Radio with Sheila Gale on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. A presidential welcome for China's Hu Jintao today and a long list of subjects for he and President Bush to talk about. Iran's nuclear ambitions, the situation in North Korea, and then there's the energy prices and China's consumption of oil.
China's growth is a big, big factor in expanding world demand for energy and therefore driving up the global price.
Fred Bergston, author of a book on the Chinese economy, says the U.S. remains the largest consumer of crude, 20 million barrels a day. But China is now the second largest, using 6.5 million barrels daily, and the Energy Department predicts China's demand will more than double by 2025.
CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason in Houston. Former Enron CEO Jeff Skilling finished his testimony today in his fraud trial. He talked to reporters outside the courthouse afterwards.
You never say everything you want to say, but I feel that I had a fair opportunity to explain a lot of the questions that have been raised.
Enron founder Ken Lay could take the stand early next week. They're charged with lying to investors and employees about Enron's financial troubles as it headed toward collapse. So how many Americans work to gather intelligence around the world? The nation's spy chief, John Negroponte, has revealed the number for the first time.
The United States intelligence community comprises almost 100,000 patriotic, talented, and hardworking Americans in 16 federal departments and agencies.
He told the National Press Club the country should know what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how well they're doing it. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says the crackdown on businesses hiring illegal immigrants will continue.
There are employers who knowingly or recklessly hire unauthorized workers, and they've actually built their business on being able to do that. often because they know that those are the workers who can't complain when they're exploited or injured on the job.
With more, here's CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts.
When INS agents crack down, it's normally illegal immigrants who face justice. Not today. Mixed in with the nearly 1,200 undocumented workers busted in a nationwide raid were their employers, seven corporate executives of IFCO Systems, a manufacturing company. Men who in the past might only face fines now could serve up to 10 years in federal prison.